Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Luby Airblast, Britney Spears, Cam Kardashian, Paris Hilton, yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
We had our shop, which is actorsbreakdown.com/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Well, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday. I'm your host, Brian Hammer Jackson. We're already into almost the middle of October. Halloween's coming. And I did last night. Nice. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We're global. I looked at followers today. And I'm extremely excited because thank you. I didn't think I was that popular, but thank you. I'm glad you found me. I'm glad a lot of you guys went to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson. That's how you follow me. Sometimes I'm working on another project, but you'll get the notification when I'm on, and I'm glad I'm with you guys. Well, it's 8 in the morning here in California, partly cloudy, little rain. That's how it goes. We're used to 100-something degree weather. We finally broke to the 70s. Nice. Welcome aboard. If you'd like to come in the store, the show, it's very easy because I know some of you people are listening. I got a couple of people messages wondering where I was, and they listened to me at work. Well, here's the number. 319-527-6099 is the number. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in. Studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. We're working on some original projects. It's going to be very interesting. We have a very talented voice actor. He's been doing It's a Wonderful Life. He played George Bailey for years. I mean, his voice is unbelievable. You think he's Jimmy Stewart. If you don't know who Jimmy Stewart is, just think of It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey. Well, he's working on a project with me, and hopefully he'll be done next week. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. Doing his voice of George Bailey, I think you're going to love it. It's an original. And there's other stuff we're doing, too. Right now, well, we'll wait till Ellen gets in if she comes in to make that announcement, because I'm on Zoom doing a show too, so people can see me live if you want. There I am in all my glory. It's Friday, everybody. We got a lot of things to attend to. We got a lot of things to get to. And also, if you have anything on your mind that you want to sound off, anything during the week or whatever, you just got divorced, you just got a girl or whatever, if you want some relationship advice, hey, I'm an expert. Ask what Brian thinks, or ask the Hammer for relationship advice, if that's what you want. We're going to do our show. We got a lot of things going on here. You know the number to get in. And like I said, it's Friday. A lot of shit's been happening. Our main story is Pfizer. Way to go, Pfizer. I'll tell you a little thing what happened to me in a store the other day, too. Sons of bitches. Not going to believe it. I was minding my own business. I don't know why the nuts come up to me. I don't know why the mental illness people, they have a GPS and they tend to want to talk to me. This is all true story. I can't believe what happened. It's in a store. Kroger's. This nutcase. Woman. I'd say she was about 75, 80. She had something to say, but I wasn't interested. But she kept saying it. You're not going to believe it. People are going nuts. People are going nuts. Alrighty, guys. It is Friday. I'm going to get my energy up. We're going to have a great show. Again, you know the number to get into the studio. Come on now. You know the number, because I just forgot it. No, I'm only kidding. I'll give you the number. You know the number, get in the studio. Here we go, 319-527-6099. That's the number. We'll have some fun. I was trying to find a Friday song so I can go to the, so I can go to a break and come back and do the show. I just got this. All right, everybody, it's Friday. You're with Brian the Hammer Jackson coming in the studio. We're going to talk about now Pfizer wants to vaccinate your kids from 5 years old to 11. We'll be right back. Friday. Let's get the show popping. I'll be right back with the stories. It's Friday, everybody. haven't been on all week. I'm here now. See you in a bit. Need my coffee? Let's get our fuck on. It's Friday.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's
now that I'm on Zoom, I don't know what how it works and everything, and I'm right there. So you meet people. So I met this nice woman in Italy, and I don't know what time is it in Italy. But anyway, she has a little daughter. She's a really cutie. Let me see here. I don't know what time is it in Italy. I'm trying to find a time. Time in Italy. Because she has a special request. She's listening right now. And I must speak my Italian. Hola. Well, it's 5 o'clock there in Italy. So the kid's up. So she has a special request that I do. Because I did this before. And apparently the kid likes it. Kid has wonderful music taste. She likes it. So I gave her a little California love. And I sang to the kid with my beautiful voice, and I should get an Emmy. And my favorite song is Good Night, Sweetheart, Good Night. So my voice is not up to par. Not up to par in the morning because it's 7 here. But she asked me, and she's listening, can you please sing that for me? My little daughter wants to hear it. I don't have it set up, but I'll try. I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm going to need, usually when I sing to her is karaoke style, but I'm going to need a little help with background music, so I'm going to sing over the music. So anyway, here goes for her, and we go on with our show. All right, for all those people who love music, you might want to mute me because not a great voice in the morning. But here it goes to you, Natasha, from Brian the Hammer Jackson. In Italy, and I speak Italian, bueno, buongiorno. I think that's buongiorno. Buongiorno. Well, let me do it in English. This is for you. All right, everybody, just a special request, and to the mother, Avita Say, that's my Italian, because they're from Italy. There you go. All right, everybody, our main story today, Pfizer formally asked the FDA to authorize this COVID vaccine for kids 5 to 11. Yes, your kids are getting vaccinated. Yes. From 5 to 11. Yes. It's about damn time. Let me tell you something. I might have a... I don't know what it is, but I think I have a face where people can just say anything you want. I'm in Kroger's. Ralph's, Kroger's. You know, I'm in a store. I got the mask on. I got my sunglasses on. I look like I'm a bank robber. You don't mess with me. I'm a black man with sunglasses and a mask. It's not a happy time to come up to somebody you don't know and say, hey. Well, that's exact. Every time, I'm telling you, I tell this story every time, every freaking time. My girlfriend will say, we're going to the market. She'll make the announcement. She'll read me the disclaimer. Please don't do anything stupid. Don't do this. I don't want to be embarrassed. Blah, blah, blah. Every freaking time. Not one day. I've been to this market with this woman for many years. Every time we go, it's the same thing. Don't embarrass me. Don't do anything stupid. Stop it. Stop it. We're going to get our shit and go. You promise? Yeah, no problem. And she makes the same mistake every freaking time. We get in. She separates us. Honey, why don't you go get this and I'll get this. Uh-huh. And she'll give me the look. Don't do anything stupid. What am I going to do stupid? I don't know these people. I want to get the fuck out. Okay. I go over and I see cake. Hey, cake. And it's not the kind of cake that I usually get. I like to go to the bakery. But, you know, in these markets, they have these, like, these dollar racks. I don't know, day-old racks or whatever, that they put this stuff out there. And normally the cake is, like, $13, and then they have it high price, like, $5. And like, cake, $5. Well, look at this cake. What's wrong with this cake? It's in the store. It must be good. I can get the cake. So I'm over there. Not sooner than 2 seconds. 2 seconds. This crazy bitch, I would say she's about 65, maybe older. At the same rack I was, wearing a mask. She looks at me. I'm not looking at this crazy bitch. But she looks at me and she says, I'm not vaccinated, me and her. I'm looking at her. I don't say anything. I know this is a cuckoo now. Because, you know, in your head, if you're not vaccinated, to me, you're a danger. You're a cuckoo. You're nuts. Now, if anybody should be vaccinated, it should be this old bitch. Just saying. And I kind of look at her. I look back because I'm seeing cake. I like cake. I don't like her. I like cake. Give me something good to look at. I'm not looking at her. God. And she continues. You know, I hear that people who are vaccinated, you know, that vaccination is like a gene chronology test. I go, oh, God. You know, I do radio. My first, your first instinct is like, what the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck? Don't say anything to the old crazy bitch. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing, won't be nothing. You know, that's how it is. Don't say nothing, won't be nothing. And she continues. Well, you know, I heard it on the radio. I go, okay, here we go. That vaccination, the guy said that this is the host on the radio show. She mentioned the name. I don't know the name. Cough or whatever. He said, like, this is a conspiracy. In 3 years, all the people who've been vaccinated are going to be dead. I said, what? In 3 years, everybody's going to be dead who took the vaccination. I'm looking at her. I'm saying, you're going to be dead pretty soon. And you won't be around for 3 years because, one, you're at the... I'm thinking this in my head. I'm not saying to her. God forbid. See, you got to understand, crazies want you to respond to crazy. So crazy could start talking crazy, and they talk crazy to somebody, so you don't respond to crazy, you know, and crazy goes away. But crazy followed me throughout the whole store, pretending to get bread and everything, and talking to me about death, and if you're vaccinated, and the gene pool, and it's a chromosome. It's like, it's nuts. And I'm thinking, bitch, I mean, you're, in my head, I'm saying, you're like COVID wet dream. You're old. You probably have no immune system. You got no brain, so you know you have a deficiency. You're COVID's wet dream. You know, COVID's going to get you. And it was just, I would go to this counter. I noticed she's over here. I would go here. I noticed she's over here. I even went fried chicken. I mean, what white people get fried chicken? I'm going to fried chicken. And she's there. This bitch was stalking me like you would not believe. I said nothing. I did nothing. I got to a point where it's uncomfortable. I saw my girlfriend coming down with a cart. I just ran and jumped in the cart and hugged her and kissed her and said, baby, let's get the hell out of here. And jumped in that cart like a little boy. Let's roll, baby, let's roll. Because she was so crazy. So crazy. So that's what got into the head of these people. You know, I'm done with, and I know with this Pfizer, did the vaccine for kids 5 to 11. I'm tired of the conspiracy theories. I'm sick of them. I'm sick. And I'm not one of these vaxxers. I have a lot of friends who are not vaccinated, but they don't say shit. I don't say shit. That's their own personal business. You know what I'm saying? I don't say shit. I know how they stand. They know how I stand. So I don't impose my will on them. But in my head, when I hear people who are not vaccinated, I say, die. And I am not going to stop you from committing suicide. If you want to die, done. But you're not going to die fast. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer big time. A friend just told me the other day, we were talking, and it was very interesting in how they're treating people now. In California, we now have a mandate that we have to show our card, our COVID card, or prove that you have vaccinations to clubs and restaurants. And that. They make you say, hey, you're not coming in unless I see that you have been vaccinated. Then we have the morons who say, I'm not going to do it. It's my free will and blah, 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 blah. Well, good. They can't come in. And they have to realize the more you bitch, you're still not coming in. You're not coming in. So I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was telling me about his sister's friend. Well, she got the flu. It was a stomach flu or a pneumonia. That's what it was. They rushed her to the hospital. First thing they asked her, are you vaccinated? She said, no. Would you believe they took her ass and put her in some kind of bubble in a parking lot? Now, her mother was vaccinated, and she had the same symptoms of the stomach flu or whatever it was. They asked her, are you vaccinated? She said, yes. They let her go through. She went through, got immediate medical attention. This one was in a parking lot under a bubble, and she said they treated her like shit. They didn't give her the care that she needed. She felt like she was dying. Now, a friend was hearing a story. She's not vaccinated. And she's upset. Oh, man, they shouldn't be doing that. Oh, they're going to lose a lot of business. I mean, these motherfuckers are going to lose a lot of business if they start doing this mandate thing, because sometimes people don't want to get vaccinated, sometimes this and this and this. Oh, there's going to be lawsuits and everything. And I'm looking at this bitch. And she is talking about her rights and freedom. And it's my freedom, and I don't like the country mandate this, and nah, nah, nah. I have the right to do this. Get your hands off my body. Okay. That's right. And there are going to be lawsuits and blah, blah, blah. I go, did you think about there were going to be lawsuits at the other end? I said, I want you to think about this. Let's say I'm vaccinated. Just because I'm vaccinated doesn't mean I can catch it. I can't catch it. I can still catch it. So I said, did you think about this? Let's say I'm working for a company, and my desk is next to your desk. I'm vaccinated. It's harder for me to get it, but I can still get it. And your stupid ass is not vaccinated. Now, you're running around the streets with kids and all that kind of crap. What are the chances of you going to even have contact with COVID? There was an app that I was going to download, and I decided not to do it. It's an app that tells you within a 3-mile radius of people with COVID or a high COVID area, like a hotspot. I said, hell no, I'm not going to download that app. And the reason I'm not going to download that app is because I know in my head that if I download that app, it's going to turn me into some kind of, you know, bacteriophobe. Because I know around me there's people with COVID or have symptoms of COVID or whatever. I know that. It's impossible not to have it or not to have had it. It's been around a year. It's in the air. It's what you touch. You can't run away from it. If you breathe air, chances are, and I don't care if you have a mask, and, you know, don't be stupid. I wear a mask. And you go to a restaurant and you pull down the mask. Guess what? You're not wearing a mask anymore. Just because you pull down your mask as you're eating, you're drinking, and you're talking with no mask on, that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, guess what? You might as well not have a mask on at all. Don't be stupid. Don't be a moron. So she's busy talking about my freedom, this and this and this, and I said, what about my freedom? What about me? I'm vaccinated. It's been documented that it's going to be harder to catch it from me, and it's harder for me to pass. So you're a fool, and you're running around going, my right, my body, my freedom, and you're hurting other people. You got your desk next to me. You're not vaccinated. I have a bigger chance of getting sick by you. I did the right thing. I protected myself. But with your stupid thinking, you are going to hurt many people. What about our rights? And then I turn it around. Let's say you guys have small businesses. You're listening to me. You have a small business. What is your responsibility? Well, see, the COVID thing is not a freedom thing. It's a health issue thing. It's a safety thing. So if I'm a business owner and I have employees, like 14 employees or whatever employees, my job is to make sure they're safe in the workplace. It's just plain and simple. Plain and simple. It's not about rights. I didn't hire you because of your rights or my rights. I hire you to do a job. These are the rules. But as a responsible business owner, my job is to protect my employees for health reasons. Same thing if I was in a store and I saw water on the floor, I would call somebody to clean it up. Somebody could slip and fall. Just as simple as that, for health and safety reasons. So if you are unvaccinated and you get one of my employees sick, that they pass it on to their fathers or they pass it on to their grandparents and they die because of your freedom. We got freedom too. We got freedom too. And we have the right to be safe too. We have the right to be protected too. So don't complain if you can't get a job. You made that decision. People need to hold themselves accountable. So then it goes a little further. She goes, well, there are going to be lawsuits and everything. Lawsuits, I'm going to tell you something. If I have a company and I am so irresponsible to let an unvaccinated person in my company and they give that virus to somebody else, I should be sued. They're talking about my rights and everything. I'm going to sue. Well, you know, as a business owner, I could be sued. I could see somebody coming up to me and say, you know what, you told me this was a safe environment, this was a healthy environment. Sure, people are taking their tests once a week. Sure, people are wearing masks, but that person over there is not vaccinated. You have endangered my health. I pass this on to my kids or I pass this on to my grandparents, whatever, because you did not protect us with health and safety protection. Don't think that's not going to happen. Because that's going to happen, especially in California. We look for shit to sue, especially in California. And I should be sued because my employer has to guarantee me that I work in a safe environment. If you're doing these protections about sexual harassment or even some dude just looks at you funny and how they jump on you and they fire you and all this, don't you think it's the same thing or it should be double sensitive with COVID? That somebody comes through unvaccinated or somebody comes through without a mask, don't you think you should act on it in the same protection and health issue? And if you don't, you need to be sued. So it goes both ways. So don't come to me with your freedom. Take your freedom, shove it up your ass. come to me with your responsibility, that I'm going to tell you something. I look at people, and if I think you don't take it, like, for instance, I will not go out with an alcoholic, a drunk, a cokehead, or a crackhead, or whatever, homeless person, whatever. Not because they're bad people, I don't know them, but I'm not going to begin to know them, because I don't want to know the kind of person. They're irresponsible. I don't want them around me. And I say this, and I look at the same thing. Well, I'm not vaccinated, but yet I'm going to complain that I can't go here. I'm going to complain I can't go there. I'm going to complain that I can't come over your house and play. I'm going to complain that my kids can't go play with your kids because your kids are not vaccinated. Your kids don't even wear a mask. Your kid's still eating dirt, and they're 10. My job is to protect my children. So this is the choices you make. Don't complain about the choices you make. Take the ass whooping, keep your freedom, get the fuck out. But don't be talking in people's faces, man. And don't be telling people all this other shit because you made a stupid decision and you want people to be as stupid as you. Take your stupidity and go. Done. That's going to be our main story that we're going to talk. That being said, that's our main story that we're going to talk about. Now we have a choice to make, 5 to 11 years old. Pfizer's coming out with a kid vaccine, age 5 to 11. And in California, it's going to be mandated. Biden's on it already. Already, you can't go to a restaurant, to a bar, without showing that you have the COVID, the vaccine for the COVID. And good for you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I like my sluts vaccinated. I like my whores vaccinated. Put the whores in the bar. The last thing I want to do is worry that they have COVID. I'm already worrying that they have an STD. The last thing I want to worry about is they have COVID. At least I know when they come in there and they show that they had a COVID test, they're cool with that. Let's get on with the screwing, and let's protect myself from your STD. That's what's going on here. Good morning, Ellen. How are you, baby? Good morning, Ellie Mae.
Hey, I have myself on mute because I'm doing
right.
I'm making coffee and everything.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Ellen right there. There's that little luscious Ellen. That's what they call her at Walmart, luscious Ellen. There you go. Walking around with her baby dukes. Yeah, you got your baby duke shorts on and your loose top. Walmart. In fact, she was employee. Walmart put her as an employee of the year, and she don't even work there. That's what. And with popular, what do you call it? Popular demand. Brian, the mad, angry comic, will appear today. It's Friday. I need you because you're the only one gonna. You're the only one's going to laugh at this shit. You're the only one, so I'm going to play to you. I got my jokes.
Really?
I laughed at you,
and then I called you retarded.
You want to hear? All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you one joke, okay? Just to tease you.
Okay.
All right? I think I'll do a joke on relationship. Now, remember, I could never tell a joke, so don't expect anything. I don't tell jokes. I'll do more like the Seinfeld thing. You know, I'm an observation guy, and I'll point out how stupid you are. That's my thing. But jokes, I can never tell a joke. I can't tell a joke on my life.
So if your life depended on you telling a joke, you'd die?
I would die. I would be on life support when I just did the first one.
Okay.
Okay, here you go. And these are the worst jokes ever. Just one. I have to warm up everybody, you know? All right? It's relationship jokes. I'll go, you know how Ronnie Dangerfield does, hey, I'll tell you, I don't get respect? I have him in my head. Yeah, I have him in my head, and I can't do that. So I have to do something because I'm not a stand-up.
I like that song that he did. No respect.
Yeah, he did that song. Well, you ready?
Okay.
Here's a little. Here's a little wet your whistle kind of thing. You know what I mean? A little wetty wetty.
Well,
okay, teaser. A little wetty wetty. All right. So I come out, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. So, wait, I got to come out with applause because they like me because I haven't said shit. And I'm not going to hear those applause again. So I'm going to take what I get to take. So I come out with applause. Ellen, you got to introduce me. Here's what you say, okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
You have to repeat after me. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Here at the Laugh Studio.
I thought it was called the Laugh Factory.
Okay, fine. I'm working in a factory. Here at the Laugh Factory.
Here at the Laugh Factory.
We have a first-time comedian.
We have a first-time comedian.
That you will never laugh at or with ever. He's the worst. But he's here today.
That you've never laughed at with or even before.
He's the worst guy.
But
the worst guy we can get. Everybody else called in sick because of COVID. He showed up. All right.
Yeah, everybody else called in because of the pandemic, but he showed up.
There you go. It's the only way I get a gig. Everybody else is sick. All right, just say, ladies and gentlemen, now the comedian, the angry comedian, what was it, the angry comic, yeah, the angry mad comic, Brian Hammer Jackson. Wait, let me get the applause.
And now,
let me get the applause yet.
You gotta wait till I introduce you for the applause.
All right, go. Remember, I'm the angry guy.
Okay.
I'm an angry comedian.
Okay, will you shut up, Mr. Angry Comedian? Shut up.
Fuck you. All right, I've got to go on with the pressure. You can't say that to your talent. All right.
Yes, I can, because I own the damn
thing. That's why I'm angry. That's why I'm angry at you. Go ahead.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for a one-night appearance here at the Laugh Factory.
Thank you.
His debut here at the Laugh Factory, you have the Mad Angry Comic. Brian the Hammer Jackson.
There we go. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Thank you. All right. Enough. Too much love. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Sit down. Sit your asses down. Thank you. Well, this is the first time I'm a comedian. I got fired from my day job being a brain surgeon, but I think I'll try this. May I do better? Here we go. You look good. Oh, how about the lady in the first row? Where are you from? That's you, Ellen. You're in the front row. Where are you from?
From Metairie, Louisiana.
I busted Metairie once or twice before.
Yeah. I didn't say notary, I said Metairie.
Oh, give me a break. A moment. I'm starting with my first gig. Give me a break. Okay, good. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Stupid bitch. All right, you know, this is my first day.
Excuse me.
Lady. I'm working here. I don't go to your job and do a porn shot or a porn scene where you work. Leave me alone. I'm working. I got one guest.
I'm not
in
porn. Thank you very much.
Let me do my set. You're the only one in the audience and you're already yelling at me. Just stop. I'm here on a COVID tour. Leave me alone. All right. All right, relationships.
The COVID tour? Okay.
It's the only way I can get on stage. Will you let me do my set? Oh, my God. Jesus. It's hard enough. Can I do it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, relationships are hard. They're really hard. You know what I mean? It's hard.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's been in a relationship, and in their heart. I'll tell you something. Last night, my girlfriend told me that I had a body of a god. That's right. That's what she told me. I was afraid to ask which one, but I'm pretty sure that was Buddha.
Buddha.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
That's a little teaser. That's a little teaser. That's a little teaser. Yeah, baby. I'll wet your whistle. Stay tuned for more. When the angry crowd. Get off the stage, you fat ass. Lady, stop it. Leave me alone. It's nuttery, you bastard. Oh, my God. All right. Throughout the stories, Ellen will be introducing the mad, angry comic throughout each kind of thing, you know, liven things up. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You want one more
okay.
taste? One more taste before I go to the main story?
Sure.
Okay, until the crowd comes in. Okay. I'll give you another nice. All right, you know, we're talking about relationship, and I see this young lady in the audience, you know. Are you in a relationship, lady?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. I wonder why. All right. Well, let me tell you something. I never knew what true happiness was until I got married. Then it was too late. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I'm on my COVID tour. My COVID tour is like Hammer, the angry comic. No mask allowed. All right.
Yeah,
everybody.
Maybe your COVID tour needs to be put on a ventilator.
I know it does.
Time support.
Will you stop heckling me? Try to do a job here. Jesus. Such an angry mob. There's Hammer, an angry mob. Hey, get off the stage, fat ass. You know, we don't do politics as often as I should. We got off of politics, but shit's been happening. And you need to know about the shit that's happening because it does affect everything.
You should hear this.
You should hear this. You should really hear this.
Why?
Because, you know, I've vowed not to talk about dumbass, mental ill, twice impeached, embarrassing, dumb fuck Donald, jackass Trump. And the more, you're still with the comic, aren't you? Thank you.
No, dumb fuck Donald.
This idiot. You want to know how stupid this idiot is? This came out yesterday. This is not a joke. This is serious. So this idiot saying he wants immunity.
Immunity from what?
Well, what's happening is that the Congress is giving everybody a subpoena about what happened on January 6th, you know, when they hit the Capitol. So they're going to get to the bottom of it. So they're subpoenaing everybody. They're getting a subpoena. To subpoena everybody. So they're getting a subpoena. So Donald Dumbfuck, goes out and says he wants immunity. He contacted his Florida governor and says, I want immunity. He goes, you want immunity? Now, I'm telling you how stupid this guy is. This is not even a joke.
If I was Santos, I would be saying, are you fucking kidding me? You're
exactly.
The one that incited the damn thing.
Exactly. Now, here's how stupid this guy is. The only one who can give him immunity is President Biden. You know, the guy that that you ran the Capitol with, that you tried to stop the certification of the vote, that you started claiming that he's stolen the election, the guy that you said that is not really mentally there, the guy that you still claim that he's a false president and you're the real president, you're going to ask him for, not you because you're a coward, you wanted to ask your friend who's a governor to ask him, can you get immunity? Do you know how this system works? Are you fucking kidding me? And get this. So after he asked the governor of Florida to see if he can get immunity, he wants immunity. So Congress gave a subpoena to five other people that was with him. And he had the nerve to call them and say, don't go to the subpoena. Throw it away. So he's telling his five other people who are on his administration, don't answer the subpoena. Don't worry about it. But then behind their backs, he went back and said, you think I can get immunity? This guy. This is how stupid people are. You know what I mean? And to ask for immunity, you would have to ask the President of the United States, hey, Donald, I thought you were the President of the United States. Why don't you give yourself immunity? I mean, you're claiming that it's a false president and you're still president. If you're still president, no cuckoo, why don't you give yourself an immunity? Why don't you give your friends immunity from your White House in Mar-a-Lago if you're still president? And people still believe he's president. So you people are following this fucker. This dumbass mental giant who's begging for immunity from the President of the United States, President Biden, and you're still doing rallies saying that he's not the president, they stole it from you, you're the real president, and you're going to rise and take over the White House, and you even inserted people to make sure that you're going to stop this certification by killing people. Four people died by the incident.
No, it was five. Five people
died, and you don't care about them.
And a civilian.
Right. Right. And then you have the nerve to tell people, don't answer the subpoena. And if they don't answer the subpoena, they can go to jail, you know, all that stuff. But then you go behind them like a sniffing little coward, like a little bitch dog that you are. Can I please get an immunity? And you got followers? And so you're going to beg the President of the United States to give you immunity. But you're telling your other friends, don't answer the subpoena. And the same guy you're going to beg to give you immunity is the same guy that you're doing rallies against and telling him that he's stupid and that he stole the election, that the governor, that he's not the president, and he's a lawless president. Is anybody understand that he's crazy? I mean, is it that far gone that crazy people become normal? I mean, is this what it is? I mean, even a child can go, 5-year-old can go, damn, is he that stupid? He's that stupid. And so I'm going to prove to you that's stupid. And here we go. And Ellen, I know you don't watch her. This is the time for you to, you know, get some coffee or whatever. But you got to really listen to this according to, here it is, a mini attempted coup. D'etat. It's d'etat, right? D'etat. What do they call a coup?
Coup
d'etat?
Coup d'etat.
Coup d'etat? Coup d'etat. Coup d'etat.
Yeah.
If he came and
said that to me, I'd say, Mr. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right. This guy's a madman. Not only a mad, his own wife, who they can't find, by the way. Melania left his ass as soon as she got to the White House. Melania came out and said, I am not going back to that White House. Old Donald could do whatever he wants to. I'm not going to do this. She's busy fucking the guy from France. Ooh, Jean-Pierre. My name is not Jean-Pierre. Who cares? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now I'm going to give Melania what to do. I mean, she kept up her appearance, and I'm sure plastic surgery helped a lot, but she kept it up, right? She didn't get fat. She didn't get this. She's still bangable. You know what I mean? She is. She's bangable. Broad. She's stupid, but she's bangable. You know what I'm saying? She's a bangable broad. I would do her. I would do Melania. She would be the worst fuck ever because you can tell with those stupid pouty lips and those squinty eyes. Go, what the hell is that? Like she just ate a lemon while I was banging her doggy style. You can see it almost, right? Ooh. She still has it, right? She still has it.
Uh-huh.
And you know that pussy hasn't been used for a while. Ever since she had Baron, it's shut. The factory, the pussy factory has been shut down. You know what I'm trying to say? So, you know, she's a little tight for her face. Her pussy is probably tighter than her face, but a facelift after 3 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And can you imagine for 1 minute, close your eyes, and you got Donald Trump completely naked?
Oh, God.
Completely
no.
Naked, without his toupee, with that bald-ass head, that fat-ass stomach, coming in and going, Melania. Can you imagine in your worst nightmare to see that? Just to see that Donald Trump naked, you know, banging Melania? Can you imagine? That has to be the grossest thing you've ever seen. I see that we have Angela here. I do want to take a break because I want you to really listen. Let me say hello to Angela because I think she wants to hear this too. Good morning. Wait a minute. Is it Angela? I'm not quite sure. Angela?
The grossest thing I have heard from you in a while. Did you have to give us a blow-by-blow? No. I mean,
it's disgusting.
That's beyond gross.
Oh, man.
I don't know Melania's personal life, but,
right.
You know, I wish her well. Has she not gone through hell enough? You know, and
right.
She's not a nice lady, but, I mean, would you be nice after being around that narcissist, you know, that almost caused a coup? I mean, come on. You know, that executive privilege that he touts. You know, you only have that when you're in office.
I know. It's just like he's crazy. Like he doesn't know anything. It's like, how can you ask for immunity? Only the president of the United States can give you immunity. The same guy that you're going around with the Raleigh saying he stole the election and that he's not validated as the president that you thought was crazy. The same guy. The same guy that you sent people in to stop your certification and to hang your own vice president and to put a bullet through Pelosi's head. And you're asking. Go ahead.
He could only get immunity if he were president. It doesn't extend beyond his office,
his period
of serving.
No, Biden can pardon him. Biden can give him immunity. They make deals like that all the time. But
he's
trying
to make the argument that he's above the law, basically, that he can't be touched. And he's telling his four minions, you know, to hide, so they won't be subpoenaed. You know, they have to be notified, served, if you will.
Right, and
that was just gross. I mean, who the hell would have? Why do they vote
Melania,
for Trump?
Here's
supposed to be in perfect health? Oh, come on, stop that.
Make my
no
penis
balls.
Great again. USA, USA, USA.
Alan, you need to control brain a little bit better.
Concluded.
Here, listen to this. This is going to make you feel better. I'm going to put you on mute so you can hear it, so you can do things in the background so you can hear. Listen to this. And you really need to hear this, seriously. You really need to hear this.
It will open
your eyes. And just listen to this news clip. And this explains about the many attempted coup. Ditati, right, Ellen?
Oh, the LLC.
Coup d'etat.
Yeah, they had a private company. It was an LLC. It was like stop the count.
Right.
What an idiot.
Right, you got it. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that, too.
If you're
going to
do coup d'etat and then you do that private company, I mean, just...
Right.
Ugh.
Well... You really need to hear this, and here it is. We're going to talk about the coup d'etat.
Take the sexual references out. This is serious.
I can't. I'm a special kid. We're going to talk about the coup d'etat.
I'm going to slap your face.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time, baby. You love me, girl.
Ellen. Come on. Get him back in shape.
He's incorrigible. Stop it.
Stick
around for the angry hammer comic. I mean, he's a laugh a minute, right, Alan? Oh, my God. The jokes that he has. All right, here we go. The coup d'etat. by Rachel Maddow. Here we go.
This is Jialin Yang, national editor at the New York Times. More than 1,700 journalists work at the Times. They come from all over, from Iraq.
Where we get that from?
This is Jialin Yang, national editor at the New York Times. More than 1,700 journalists work at the Times.
We have to go through this. Don't worry about it. It'll play. Enjoy it. A lot of people are at work with your headphones. You really have to listen. I don't know if I could fast forward this. Okay, there we go. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Thanks, Jill, for joining us this hour. Happy to be back. All right. So this is just released today. The interview with the investigators went long. It was like a 3.5-hour interview in the end. The first swearing, however, did not happen until about halfway through this three-and-a-half-hour-long interview. But this is how the swearing arose. You ready? Here we go. Question. It's our understanding that on New Year's Day, Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen provided a different Justice Department official, Jeffrey Clark, with your cell phone number. Do you know what prompted Attorney General Rosen to give Mr. Clark your cell phone number? Answer, I do not. Question. Had you and Attorney General Rosen or Mr. Richard Donahue or anyone else at Maine Justice previously discussed Mr. Clark reaching out to you in any way? Answer, yes. On December 30th or 31st, I can't remember exactly, I knew it was before New Year's, Richard Donahue called me and told me he was very frustrated because President Trump was solely focused on Georgia with respect to any voter fraud allegations, and he had commented that nothing would dissuade President Trump from believing that the election was, in fact, stolen from him. Mr. Donahue stated that he, the president, just would not believe that he lost Georgia. I don't know why. He didn't explain why. And I reiterated to him that we'd looked into several allegations. Obviously, we concluded that there was nothing there. And this was kind of disturbing because, in substance, this meant that his own people had looked into it and reported back up. Mr. Donahue then asked me about whether or not I knew Jeffrey Clark. I told him, no, I didn't know Jeffrey Clark. Who was he? Mr. Donahue explained to me that Clark was the Assistant Attorney General for the Environmental Natural Resources Division, and he was also, at the time, the Acting Chief of the Civil Division. He said Jeff Clark had, quote, the President's ear. I asked him what he meant by that, and he mentioned that Jeff Clark is suggesting that the Justice Department sign on to some letter suggesting that the General Assembly, the state legislature in Georgia, should call a special session, and they should refuse to certify the Electoral College votes. Also, Mr. Clark wanted the Justice Department to intervene or join in, I can't remember exactly, in a civil lawsuit that was filed by the Trump campaign. And I said, well, that's crazy. That's just highly crazy. I think the words I used were bat bleep crazy. That was the description. Rich Donahue told me that Jeff Clark would be calling me and that maybe I could talk to him about what we found and to try to dissuade him from, you know, trying to suggest that there was widespread fraud in Georgia. I told Rich Donahue, well, he can call me all he wants, but it's not going to change anything. We're not going to be joining any lawsuits that aren't, you know, substantiated by any evidence. At the time, Rich Donahue mentioned to me that, in fact, I shouldn't be surprised if the president called me directly. I said, well, the president could call me all he wants. The answer is not going to change. And that was the end of the conversation. Question. You indicated that Rich Donahue thought that the plan that Jeff Clark was interested in pushing forward was bat bleep crazy. But did it strike you as unusual that the acting head of the civil division at the Justice Department would want to reach out to you to discuss voting or election matters? Answer. I thought that was strange and highly irregular. Question. And you said that Rich Donahue indicated that the president might try to call you himself directly. Have you ever had any situation where someone at Maine Justice told you the president might contact you directly for an issue? Answer, I have not. Question, in your experience, would that be unusual for any U.S. attorney to hear that the president might contact them directly? Answer, that would be highly irregular given the fact that it's been traditionally, there are policies in which communication between the White House and the Justice Department is highly regulated through the Office of Legal Affairs and, of course, the front office, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General. Question. And in the course of this discussion with Rich Donahue, did the two of you ever develop some sort of plan for how you would deal with potential reach out from Jeff Clark or from President Trump? Answer. No, there was no plan. There was no plan. That testimony unsealed today from a man named B.J. Pack. Now, we've been following his closely story for almost a year now. His shock resignation as the top federal prosecutor, U.S. attorney in Georgia, just, forgive me, it just stunk to high heaven when it happened without explanation in early January, right in the middle of Trump trying to stay in office despite the fact that he lost the presidential election. We had just learned at the time, just 24 hours earlier, about Trump's efforts to pressure Georgia state officials into changing the vote count in Georgia, into finding him just enough votes so the election results could be overturned. The same day that Pack resigned was when we learned about that call pressuring Georgia officials. And again, B.J. Pack resigning as U.S. attorney never had any explanation. Well, now we get the explanation. And we learn, among other things, that B.J. Pack, when he was the U.S. attorney in Georgia, when all of this was coming down from the White House about them trying to say that Trump didn't really lose Georgia and that it was some sort of stolen election and the Justice Department should somehow intervene and fix it for Trump, at the time, Mr. Pack seems to have been quite unnerved by the fact that White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows turned up in person in Georgia at an election site in the middle of all of this. We covered this at the time. What is the White House Chief of Staff doing in Georgia at Cobb County at a place where they are reviewing the ballots and the election materials in the state of Georgia? What's the White House Chief of Staff doing there? Well, now we get a little new insight on that from this, again, this interview just unsealed today. Question. On December 22nd, 2020, President Trump's White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, personally visited Cobb County, Georgia, during its signature audit of absentee-by-mail ballots, specifically the signature on the oath envelopes. While it was our understanding that Mr. Meadows was not allowed to enter the room where the signatures were being verified, he did meet with Georgia's Deputy Secretary of State to discuss the audit process that was then underway. My question to you, Mr. Pack, is, were you aware of this visit by White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows? Answer, I found out about it through the press. Question, okay, and when did you first learn through the press about this visit? Answer, I think it was immediately, the day of or right after. Question, did you have any particular reaction to learning about this trip? Answer, I thought it was highly unusual. Question, and why did you think it was unusual? Answer, well, in the middle of the process, the White House Chief of Staff would come visit, have a meeting with the Secretary of State? I don't recall that ever happening in the history of the United States. That never happened before in the history of the United States. I mean, what the Justice Department was potentially going to do here on behalf of the President of the United States was, in Mr. Pack's words, bat bleep crazy. That U.S. attorney, B.J. Pack, was ultimately fired as U.S. attorney. His firing came down from the White House. He was told to resign after the president told senior Justice Department officials how mad he was that none of the BS voting claims he wanted to make about Georgia were being backed up by B.J. Pack's office. He wanted this federal prosecutor. He wanted the U.S. Justice Department, federal prosecutor's offices in places like Georgia to say that there was massive criminal election fraud that was under active investigation and the election results were somehow suspect and potentially criminal. B.J. Pack wouldn't say that, and so he had to go. Now we know. Today, the Judiciary Committee in the Senate released what they're calling an interim report. It's a staff report that's about 50 pages long. They released that alongside about 900 pages of documents and transcripts that have turned up in their investigation so far into the Justice Department getting involved in efforts by former President Trump to try to overturn the results of the presidential election to stay in power despite his losing that election. That's what the Judiciary Committee is investigating. This preliminary report tells us a lot of alarming things we did not know before about how the Justice Department ended up right in the middle of all of this stuff, some ways unwitting and some ways witting. Some of what emerges really is just remarkable. This guy, Jeff Clark, who was given B.J. Pack's cell phone number, and B.J. Pack was told Jeff Clark's going to call you, and he's like, who is this guy again? Why is he going to call me? His name is Jeffrey Bossert Clark, relatively unknown Justice Department official. He served as the head of the Environmental Division at the Justice Department, and then they made him acting head of the Civil Division for a short time. we now know in detail that he really does appear to have launched a plot with Trump in which they were going to have the Justice Department assert that there were ongoing serious investigations into serious allegations, serious and credible allegations of election fraud in Georgia and in other states that Biden won. The plan was that the United States Justice Department would send a scary letter to Republican-led state legislatures in each of these states that Biden won. The letter would tell the legislatures that there were serious matters under investigation by the Justice Department, and it would tell the legislatures that they should come back into session, into special session or emergency session, and they should appoint new electors in each of those states. Even though Biden won each of those states and the Biden election.
You know what's interesting? As I listen to this, this takes me back to the shenanigans of 2016. And what do you say? What do you mean? Well, if you remember 2016, Hillary Clinton was beating, wiping the floor from this dumb fuck Trump. She was kicking his ass. Up until the third week of the election, we're going to vote. Third week, we're going to vote. 3 weeks until the election. All of a sudden, mysteriously, Comey comes out and says, do you guys remember this? When Comey says, we are investigating Hillary Clinton. Doesn't this ring a bell?
It's called a November surprise.
Right.
They call that a November surprise. Close to election, they pull something that cannot be defended easily.
Exactly.
With the country understanding that he was lying or whoever
right.
it was that was lying. It happens almost every election.
Right, but it's the same act because nobody's putting this together because Hillary was beating him until Comey made the announcement that we're investigating Hillary Clinton for some stuff, okay? And as soon as he made that announcement, this is where she lost the election. Now, that was 2016. I didn't put it together. Now he tried to do the same thing in 2020 saying with the scary letter saying we're investigating the votes or whatever, that voter fraud. It's the same thing. And so if we put out there we're investigating this, people are going to go, whoa, there's something bad going on, and that we got to put them back. He did the same thing in 2016 that nobody has put this together. Mysteriously, Comey, 2 weeks before or 3 weeks before the election, comes out with saying that we're going to investigate Hillary Clinton, and he found out there was nothing there. By then it was too late. He pulled the same bullshit. The same bullshit. And nobody put it together yet.
That happens every election, you know, on the presidential elections especially.
Sure.
It's called a November surprise.
Oh, I understand. But using the November surprise it's not the same. It's not the same thing. Like saying, okay, let's say he had an affair with his wife in November. November surprise, good. That's a surprise. Then you pull the same thing. Oh, he had an affair with his wife again in 2020. He's pulling the same excuse. I mean, you think of a different excuse as November surprise, like maybe Biden fell down, hit his head, and he's a cuckoo bird, or he was a mental institution. Whatever.
Well, it worked.
You pulled the same story.
You know, the November surprise type of thing. It works. I mean, it
right.
says nothing of. Speak slowly of their character, but
exactly.
unfortunately it works, and politics is dirty.
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, were you hearing, isn't this surprising anything? Ellen, are you surprised? Angela, are you surprised what's going on that we're finding this shit?
No,
this
but
shit
I'm jaded. I'm jaded, so.
Well, it's almost over. You got to hear, I mean, this is just, to me, it's an amazing story. I mean, usually in the old days, you get the movie. You know, you wait till the movie or there's a book. And you find out what happened with JFK and what he really did and Marilyn Monroe and all that. It's usually a movie or a book. But this, bless you, but this is happening right now. And we're almost done, but this is unbelievable. Here we go. Back to the coup d'etat.
I'm just
going to
hug
okay.
my pillows. I listen.
And batshit crazy Trump. Here we go.
This is GLN Yang, national editor at the New York Times. Department was potentially going to do here on behalf of the President of the United States was, in Mr. Pak's words, bat bleep crazy to stay in power despite his losing that election. That's what the Judiciary Committee held, that he really does appear to have launched a plot with Trump in which they were safe for Biden won. They'd all do the same. And victory appeared to be a sham. It appeared to be a crime. The Justice Department was on the case, and those Republican-led legislatures should consider just disregarding the purported election results and instead do what they needed to do to declare Trump the winner. Or at least to not declare Biden the winner. Do what you need to do. Justice Department will back you up. Now, that's that bleep crazy, right? As BJ Pack said. But you can imagine how it would work. You know, if they sent that letter to even one state and the Republican legislature acted on it, it would then spread to others, and all the Republican legislatures and all the other states were Biden won. They'd all do the same. Even if it didn't work in multiple states, just having this kind of assertion from the Justice Department related to multiple states that Biden won, that presumably would have been enough to give Vice President Mike Pence a pretext, a justification for not accepting or for delaying the acceptance of the election results from those affected states, which is something that we know Mike Pence and his counsel looked into in detail ahead of January 6th and the certification of the election. That letter to Georgia, which apparently was first drafted to Georgia, but they intended to send it to multiple states that Biden won. That letter was not theoretical. It was drafted. It exists. The committee has it. And here's this guy at the Justice Department, Jeff Clark, head of the Environmental Division, head of the Civil Division. Jeff Clark is saying, let's send out this letter to Georgia. It should be signed by the Attorney General and by the Deputy Attorney General. Let's get this out there. Let's do it fast. This was his scheme with Trump. Well, in today's report from the Senate Judiciary Committee, we learn that the Attorney General at the time was told by Jeff Clark that if he did sign on to that crazy letter to Georgia, then he could stay on as Attorney General. He was told that if he didn't sign on to it, though, he'd be taken out. He would be replaced as Attorney General by Jeff Clark, by the guy who wrote the Georgia letter, the guy who had concocted and was pursuing this whole scheme with Trump. Hey, Jeffrey Rosen, Attorney General at the end of the Trump administration, you sign on to this letter and we're going to send it out to these Republican-controlled state legislatures to overturn the election results. And if you don't sign on to it, you are going to be fired as Attorney General and replaced with a guy who will do it instead of you. That's what Jeffrey Rosen was told. He was acting Attorney General. The Deputy Attorney General at the time was Rich Donahue. In his interview with the investigation in the Senate Judiciary Committee, his interview also unsealed today, he explains what it was like to talk to Trump about this scheme, about this plot, at the White House in a meeting on January 3rd, just 3 days before the U.S. Capitol attack. He says, quote, when I came in, seated in the Oval Office was, of course, the president behind the desk. Then there was Pat Cipollone, the White House counsel, Pat Philbin, his deputy, Jeff Rosen, the attorney general, Jeff Clark, the guy who's plotting with Trump, Steve Engel, another Justice Department official, and myself. I sat directly in front of the president with Jeff Rosen, the attorney general, to my right, and Jeff Clark to my left. He says, quote, it was a wide-ranging conversation about the Justice Department. The focus of it was whether the president should replace the leadership, whether he should remove Attorney General Rosen and put Jeff Clark in instead as acting attorney general. There were some discussions about the letter, meaning the letter to Georgia, he says, obviously. At that point, it was difficult to separate the issue of the letter and Jeff Clark being in the leadership position because it was very clear, and he stated it repeatedly, that if President Trump made Jeff Clark the acting attorney general, Clark would send that letter on behalf of the Justice Department. So it wasn't as if there was a third option where Jeff Clark would become the attorney general and the letter would not go. They were sort of one and the same at that point. He said, quote, essentially everyone in the room, again, the president was making the decision, was taking advice from different sides here, but Jeff Clark was advocating for Jeff Clark to become attorney general. Everyone else in the room was adamantly opposed to the president taking that step. He says, quote, we kind of went around the room for hours discussing it and telling the president why this was a terrible idea. The president would say things like, well, what do I have to lose? What would I lose at this point if I put Jeff Clark in? I said, sir, you have a great deal to lose. And then we went around and discussed about the downside of doing this. We discussed whether Jeff Clark was even qualified to serve as Attorney General. And we informed President Trump that he should expect mass resignations in the department if he did this. And that, but at one point, the president said to me, so suppose I do this. Suppose I take him out, meaning Attorney General Rosen, and I put him in, Jeff Clark. What do you do? I said, sir, I'd resign immediately. And then he turned to Steve Engel, and he said, Steve, you wouldn't resign, would you? And Steve said, absolutely, I would, Mr. President. You would leave me no choice. And I said, well, Steve's not the only one, sir. All your assistant attorneys general are going to resign. You should count on that. They're going to resign. And these are your people. These aren't bureaucrats left over from another administration. These are your hand-picked people, your leadership in the department. This is the team you sent to the Senate. You got confirmed. They're all going to walk away on you all at once. What does that say about you as a leader? What does that say about the department and what's going on here? And you shouldn't think it's going to end there, because I have no idea what the U.S. attorneys will do. The U.S. attorneys will resign, may resign en masse. You may have other department personnel resign. You could have a situation here within 24 hours where you have hundreds of people resigning from the Justice Department. Is that good for anyone? Is it good for the department? Is it good for the country? Is it good for you? Quote, it's not. Meaning, it's not good for you, Mr. President. So this is dramatic stuff, right?
Yeah, the toddler.
President in the Oval Office has a guy sitting in front of him, Jeff Barr,
right?
He's willing to do it, right? Hatched the scheme with President Trump to do it. He's drafted the letter. He's already asked for the other official signatures on it and threatened the attorney general. If you don't sign it, you're not going to be attorney general anymore. I'll be attorney general, and then I'll sign it. They're going to tell Republicans in the state legislatures where Biden won that the Justice Department is treating the election as a crime scene. They should essentially throw out the election results, take steps to just keep Trump in office. This guy is willing to do it. And Trump is very willing to put him in charge of the Justice Department so he can carry out that plot. What stops it is that everybody else in the Justice Department says they'll quit, they'll make a stink, might look bad. That's what stops it. It's dramatic stuff. These Justice Department officials, and we now know, apparently, White House counsel Pat Cipollone and his deputy as well, all threatening to resign in this circumstance, definitely makes them the stars of their own movies here, right? Makes them seem like they really saved us. Here's the problem. Here's the problem not just for them being, you know, cast as heroes in their own telling of the movie. Here's the problem for the U.S. Justice Department on its own terms and today. Here's the problem that has just landed in Attorney General Merrick Garland's lap. The problem is that before, in the end, they finally all offered to quit to stop this plot, before they did that, a bunch of them helped in the plot. They didn't just passively observe that this is what Trump wanted and this is what Trump was pursuing and this is how Trump wanted to use the U.S. Justice Department. They helped him use the Justice Department to advance this plot up to a point. Richard Donahue, the Deputy Attorney General, telling Trump, it'll be bad for you, it'll be bad for the country, we'll all quit. Yeah, he looks like a great star of the movie at that point. Well, before that, we know he took Trump's bat bleep theories about voter fraud, stealing the election from him in multiple states, and he sent those Trump bananagrams to the U.S. attorneys in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. He, as the Deputy Attorney General of the United States Justice Department, told U.S. attorneys in Michigan and Pennsylvania that they should use Justice Department resources to go check that out, to go try to substantiate these nonsense claims that were coming from the White House. Now, to be clear, these claims about voter fraud in Michigan and Pennsylvania, these didn't, like, bubble up from local law enforcement efforts in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and that's how they got to the U.S. attorney's offices there. No. These U.S. attorneys got calls from Maine Justice in D.C., from the number two official in the United States Department of Justice, the Trump-appointed Deputy Attorney General Richard Donahue, in his official capacity, telling U.S. attorneys in those states to pursue these made-up claims that President Trump was using to cast doubt on the election. And yes, in the end, he threatened to quit if Trump went ahead with this one crazy scheme involving Jeff Clark and the letter to Georgia, sure.
Okay.
But leading up to that, he helped Trump use the Justice Department and federal prosecutor's offices to pursue these claims. And it wasn't just Donahue. Today we have learned that former Attorney General William Barr, who has received all this positive attention for his public assertion that there wasn't any significant fraud in the election. Great, glad you said it. But what did he actually do when he was in office as Attorney General? He personally weighed in and, in fact, told at least one U.S. attorney that he needed to investigate. That Attorney General William Barr had information that he needed to investigate. He got it from Rudy Giuliani. And that 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 U.S. attorney should make it a top priority to go investigate Rudy Giuliani's made-up bananagrams bat bleep claims about voter fraud. These same claims that Trump was using at that moment to try to get the election overthrown. Barr did it too. This is from BJ Pack's testimony, again, just unsealed today. He says, quote, on December 4th, I believe, there were news reports that came out related to a Georgia State Senate hearing on election irregularities. I don't recall exactly the name of the committee they had, but it made news because at the time, Mr. Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, came down to the state of Georgia at the Capitol and showed a video that he described as a suitcase full of ballots being run, meaning run through the elections machines. He called it a smoking gun of election fraud. The morning after, I had a conversation with the Attorney General at the time, Attorney General Bill Barr. Attorney General Barr asked me if I had seen the news about this allegation of this suitcase full of ballots. I said I did hear about that. And then Attorney General Barr said, you know, he had an upcoming meeting with the White House, meaning he, Bill Barr, had an upcoming meeting with the White House. Given the fact that he had made his public statement 2 days before that there was no widespread fraud in the election, he thought this videotape from Georgia might come up during the discussion at the White House. So he asked me to make it a priority to find out more details about the allegation made by Mr. Giuliani. I told him I would do that. He asked me to make it a top priority.
And the bottom line that Giuliani convinced Barr to do the investigation and they found nothing. But, you know, and you could be a Trump supporter, and I don't know why you are. He's out of office. It's like he has no power at all. But this is a man who started a coup d'etat.
I said I was muted.
Overthrow
Sorry.
Our government. Right. Try to stop the certification of a new president.
Did you hear the latest about R. Kelly? I'm very happy about this.
We'll get to R. Kelly a little later.
Okay.
But this is a man.
Because I'm dying over here.
This is a man who did a coup d'etat on our government, first time in the United States history. People died. Tried to overthrow the election. Tried to stop the certification. Had sent a lot of people to hang his own vice president and to put a bullet through Pelosi's head. That's not bad enough. He begs for a pardon or immunity for to Biden and telling his other administrative people don't accept the subpoena, which is a federal thing. This man doesn't care about the United States of America. And I don't understand anyone that goes with a madman. This man is crazy. His own wife left him. His own wife didn't even come to his 75th birthday party. This is how bad this guy is. So you follow a crazy, you're just as crazy because, see, I don't hang with crazy people because if you hang with them long enough, you start thinking like they do. Trump was nothing more than a puppet from the Mercer Group. And if you don't know who the Mercers are, you need to Google that. If you don't know who the Mercers are and you don't know who the Koch brothers are, then you should not be a Republican. And you have no idea what's going on. They are the power of B. Trump was put there as a puppet master, P.T. Barnum Bailey Circus, for a diversion while they started to appoint conservatives on the federal court and the Supreme Court. That was their agenda. So they got the puppet to divert everything, to make everything look to the left while we take care of things. That was his job. His job was not to govern. His job was not to be the president of the United States. His job was to be a stupid puppet who loved the limelight. He loved it. I mean, this is the same guy who used to call in the newscast and pretend that he was his own publicist and telling people how beautiful Donald Trump was and how many times he gets laid. This is your president. This is a madman. It's almost like somebody breaks into your house, they tie you to a chair, and you rape his wife violently in front of him. And then he goes home, and then later he's getting caught. So you call him up, and you say, you know, that little raping that took place, you know, and your wife was good. She screamed a little bit. Okay, she's a little loud. But I want you to be a witness, and help me get off this thing, because I want you to be a witness for me. It's the same thing. Trump has done a coup d'etat. Trump has tried to overthrow the government. Trump is telling people that Biden is not a legitimate president. Trump is saying everything was stolen from him, blah, blah, blah. But then he has the nerve to ask the president of the United States, you think I can get immunity, please? And meanwhile, tell everybody else, don't accept the subpoena. Not to mention the shit that you just heard. I don't get it. So if you come in and say, I'm a Trump supporter, what are you supporting? Are you supporting policy? Because there was none. Are you supporting civil rights issue? There was none. Are you supporting women's rights issue? I don't get it. Go to Texas and find out what kind of women's rights issue they support. Are you supporting gay rights? I don't get it. Are you supporting fat women? Oh, you must be supporting grabbing women by the pussy. Because that's the only thing he stood for. And it takes a pussy to grab a pussy. So I don't get it. So when you come in and say he did this, he did it, Trump didn't do shit. Trump hired people to do that shit for him. So if you're saying that he did good policy or he did this, Trump was a puppet master. He was a puppet. He didn't run no administration. He doesn't even know what the Constitution is. So whatever you think he done, those are from other people.
Brian, I have to correct you right there. Okay.
Sure.
You have to have an administration to run an administration. He didn't have a full cabinet. The 4 years.
Everybody was in office.
He didn't have a full cabinet. Everybody kept leaving his ass.
Right. And that tells you another thing. If you hire the best people, then they write a book about you. And tell you that you're an idiot, and he's a sieve, and he's a nutcase, and they had to hold him back, and he wanted to start a war with China. What are you supporting? It's the same thing with the Republicans right now who are voting no on this health plan that's going on right now. And the Democrats are saying, yes, we need this. We need this bill. This bill is the bill that you guys ran up as a Republicans, or the debt. And you're not going to vote on the debt ceiling, the debt that you cause. And if you don't vote on it, people are going to lose their retirement plan. People may lose their health plan. Some people may lose their houses, their homes, and everything. Their 401k could be affected. So your Republicans are not going to vote on that?
Yeah, the government's going to shut down if they don't vote on this shit.
Right. Unbelievable. All right, when we come back, and we're going to talk to Angela, has something she wants to talk about, R. Kelly, but we're going to talk about, you know, how much money can you make? I mean, you're a basketball player. You motherfucker. You know, it's always the same thing. You could take the thug out of the hood, but you cannot take the hood out of the song.
So this is worth having a drink today when you hear what I have to say about R. Kelly. This is exciting news. I hope everybody will be jumping for joy.
People's lives were ruined, okay? I mean, I can't believe that you're happy.
This is justice, Angela.
I do not condone any kind of abuse. But these gold-digging whores,
Don't go there.
No, that's what they are. They signed disclosure.
No, they're not. They're not getting money. This was justice.
Oh, bullshit.
But what I'm talking about
bullshit.
Is a very happy thing.
All right, then let's make that transition. Okay, we're going to make a transition. When we come back, we'll give people a chance to get into this.
My champagne.
When we come back, Angela has an update on R. Kelly. Ellen's getting ready to rumble. You know, I can almost feel it. I know her for a long time. I can feel her.
She likes music artists. I get that. But this
is not just about
my
music artists. It's just, okay, well, Angela, I'll have you.
Well, she's in tune with music a lot more than I am, so.
No, it has
but
nothing to
news,
do with him being special
the
music
news
artist.
Is so exciting.
No, it has something to do with these women coming out and claiming
uh-huh.
shit 10, 15, 20 years after there is no
okay,
evidence.
Okay, calm down.
And it's really
right.
their
when
word
we,
against
when
his
we
word.
Come back, when we come back, Angela has an update, and Ellen has something to say about that.
Are you ready?
Oh, lock them all up.
For the thousands in attendance, and the millions watching around the world, from the capital city of the United States of America, Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
And we'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, 1999 to 2005. And when I want to listen to great talk radio, I listen to Brian the Hammer Show on BT.
Drumming my pain. Oh, that's cool.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song.
my song, Mr. Guy. Yeah, that's right. Stay tuned for Hammer, the Angry Comic. I got more jokes, everybody. That's it. Welcome back to the show. Listening to Hammer 96.7 BTR Radio. All right. Before we get to R. Kelly, shit happens to... Huh? What?
Just a wahoo thing that's what I do when I'm excited about justice.
All right. Well, before we get to R. Kelly, you know, and I know that excites everybody. God, time goes by so fast. You know,
people deserve to know.
Life is funny, you know. Ellen keeps telling me you should put a camera on you. And I said, you know, I don't think anything weird's going to happen. Yesterday, you know, sometimes you don't look your best, and I'm a smoker. So you go out and you smoke. You hope nobody sees you. You got a hat. You look like Gilligan, you know, who had bad times. You got the hat on. You got your clothes are kind of baggy. Cool. I was working on a project. I was working on it all night. I just wanted to go out and smoke and go right back in. That's all I want to do. I go out, smoke. That's the plan. And then there's this lady in the complex. Pretty lady in the complex. Never said anything. She lived here 2 years. I never talked to her and everything. The only thing I recognize is her ass. Because she walks away, I go, okay, I know who she is. That kind of thing. Smoking my own business. Apparently, she had some glass for a coffee table, and it was pretty heavy. She didn't know my name. She asked me to help. She even gave the prayer sign and bowed to me. You know, who could resist that? Now, I had baggy pants on. FYI, no underwear. I wasn't going, you know, I'm not going nowhere. It's all true. And I go, okay. So my pants, I figured, felt really good. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm walking around, nothing. But I didn't realize the bend over. I didn't plan the bend over. So I'm picking up the glass. I'm moving in with the thing. And then I have to set the glass down. And sure enough, as soon as I set it down, I felt my pants just slip down below my ass. Not to my ass crack, just below my ass as I bend down. She got an ass full of black ass, man. I was like, oh, shit. And you can't do anything about it because you're lifting this heavy glass. You can't pull your pants up because you know. And I'm sitting there going, ass out, glass down. And you hear a gasp like, and the only thing she could say is, thank you. And I said, well, you're welcome. And you walk away cool. You know what I mean? But you expect the unexpected. That happened. I just want to share that.
Yeah, so should R. Kelly.
And then before we get to, and this is another thing, you know, I got the new iPhone that's out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I love this phone, man. I have never been
so
in love
with
a device.
I love my Android.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've been an Android guy forever. This is the first time I switched to iPhone. First time. Oh, man, I love this fucking... I told my girlfriend, I mean, if it was if I could fuck the phone and I had a glory hole in that phone, I would fuck the phone. That's
oh
how much
gosh.
I love this phone.
You
I would fuck this
you
phone.
Traitor.
I am a... Oh,
yeah.
My
Come
God.
Come back home.
Once
Come
you,
back to Android.
Once you, yeah, once you go iPhone, you never go back. I just love this phone.
Yes, you will.
Man.
You love the
no.
Android.
No, I love this phone. I cannot tell you how much I love this phone. It does things. It's a beautiful thing. You know, one time it was like California never rains, right? I'm looking at the weather on my phone. And it actually says,
dying over here.
Okay. And then my phone actually says, it's going to rain in 5 minutes. Go rain in 5 minutes. I'm looking at the clouds. It's all rain in 5 minutes. Sure enough, it started to pour down. 6 minutes. My phone called it. I love this phone. But here's the problem with the phone. See, I've been an Android guy. And every time I get an Android, I can import phone numbers. No problem. Right? From my old phone to my new phone. You can't do that with iPhone. You can't do that with iPhone. So I have to manually import my numbers to this new operating system.
Did you
no,
not do
you
it
can't.
Right?
No, yes,
well,
you can.
Aaron's
got the same phone as you do. Aaron's got the same phone as you do, and she imported
all
her numbers.
No, she doesn't. Does she have the? Does Aaron have the 13? Does Aaron have the 13?
She's got the iPhone. You said you have the 12.
No, I have the 12. You're actually right. I do have the 12. I'm sorry. She has the 12?
Aaron's got the same phone as you. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Justice League.
Well, tell me how to do it. I don't. Well, anyway, until you tell me
hey,
later
Aaron.
How to do it. You know how to do it? Huh?
Aaron, how do you import your numbers from your phone? From
if her now, if she
to,
has she no wait Ellen, does she always was
I
she
still
always
have
an
R.
iPhone
Kelly
if
note,
your iPhone to iPhone
new
you
people.
Could probably do it. I'm talking about Android to iPhone, two different systems.
You can
if she had an iPhone
see,
for
okay,
all of her life.
When you normally transfer phones at a phone company, they tell you to download an app. And it'll import every single thing from the first phone to your new phone. So you just got to find out what the app is.
So you can do it. You just have to download an app onto your phone, and you can get
okay.
everything off your
right,
Android
makes,
and put
okay,
it on your
that
iPhone.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Every single time I've gone to Verizon and gotten a new phone, I had to get the app and then import everything from my old phone to my new phone.
Cool.
Okay. That makes sense. But how? So I didn't know that information. So what I'm basically saying is a lot of you guys did not make my new phone. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of numbers on my Android that did not make it to my new phone. So what I'm
may
saying to you, and there's people on this show, huh? There's people on the path
of saying,
this show.
May it rest in peace.
Right. There's people who are on this show and before in history and all that long numbers 5 years ago or whatever. You did not make it to my new phone. Meaning, if you think that Brian will call me sometime down the future in the line or something because he thinks about me or he misses me, you did not make it to my new phone. That means you're bye-bye forever. You did not make it. Only special numbers made it to my new phone. That's all I'm going to say. So if you're Cole
dump,
or if you're Melissa or if you're Laverne or if you're whoever for the last 5-6 years, you did not make it to my new phone. So if you guys are thinking, and whoever, there's so many of them. If you're thinking that, well, one day Brian's going to call me or one day Brian's going to miss me and going to say hello or I'm waiting for that, you know that stupid game people play? Not going to
well,
happen.
You've had all those guests. You've had
right.
all those
I,
guests
oh, that's
on your
another
show.
Thing. I did make some guests to my phone. Some of the guests
hey,
did
cool.
make it to my phone. But if you were like in the past, you did not make it to my phone, meaning you don't exist anymore. So don't be waiting for that call or that text.
You know who didn't make it to YouTube? Guess who didn't make it to YouTube?
Who?
R. Kelly. Both of his official channels
now,
have been taken down.
That update.
I can't wait.
I know you're bidding at the bit. Here we go. Let me give you the
yes,
news.
Yes, I
thing.
Am.
And
this
now
is more
for the
justice.
Update. Okay, now for the update about R. Kelly. We have Angela.
There's a
who's
group.
Going to give us, okay, let me give you the news thing and make it official. Here you
no,
go,
no,
ladies
no,
and gentlemen.
Think, yeah,
the update
yeah, sure.
on R. Kelly.
You don't
grudge
would
you
be
go.
Better.
Here you go. And now the news. And now the news. The update on R. Kelly. What is happening with him? Angela, our ace reporter. Special.
There's a group.
Take it away,
known
Angela.
As Mute. There's a group known as Mute R. Kelly. It's been going on since 2017. Is celebrating. I plan to celebrate with them. YouTube made an announcement that they have removed the R. Kelly official channels, so he will no longer be on YouTube, nor can he make another channel on YouTube. You could probably still find his music if that's what you're into on YouTube, but not from an official R. Kelly channel. Mute R. Kelly is also encouraging other platforms like Spotify, Apple TV, Apple whatever, to remove his official channels or platforms from each social media because he used to be able to get a stream of money from his official channels on YouTube. No more. No more. He may have been hiding in a closet. He's going to be hiding in a cell now, which I'm so excited about. But I think federal prison is too good for him. He should go to county. He should go to county. Concluded, and I'm so happy. I'm going to add one more thing. I will be celebrating. Now, I celebrated a little bit too much this last time, but I think this warrants celebrating again. I got some whiskey. I got some Bacardi, wine. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be smiling and enjoying the fact that he will not have an income stream from YouTube. Concluded.
Thank you, Angela. Jeez. Ellen, do you have any rebuttal before we move on? You have anything to say
about
that?
I think it is so stupid for them. You know, and Spotify and Pandora are not going to take his music down because they're getting too many hits on his songs right now. And I think it's stupid if they take his music down.
It's his official channels that they're taking down.
Well,
so he does not make money off of his work.
You really think that that's going to stop him from getting any money, Angela? No, because they still have his album.
Well, no, I mean, he can't be on YouTube. I mean, that is amazing.
Well,
like, he can't come back from this.
That's fine. Okay, that's fine. That's just one channel. But he was making music way before YouTube became popular.
But he won't be making money from YouTube is my point, which I think is really good, especially for the victims. R. Kelly was found guilty on racketeering.
These so-called, there is no racketeering. Okay, these women.
He was found guilty on it. That's a fact. I mean, you can't dispute that. He was found guilty.
There's also a thing called being railroaded. You know, these women went to him willingly.
Railroaded.
They could have left any time they wanted to. Just like
do you understand what racketeering is?
Yes, I do understand what racketeering is.
Okay. It's a system that he devised.
But you know what? I disagree with it. And what aspect was it racketeering, Angela? Because I'm trying to figure that out myself. And what part was racketeering part of this?
It was a criminal organization that sought out young women.
Come on.
No.
He had three women.
Well, that's
what
racketeering is.
That is what racketeering is. Wait a minute. No, okay, wait. Angela, if you're going to say racketeering, then you better come up with the RICO Act because he was not charged with the RICO Act.
They did use the RICO.
He was not charged with RICO Act. Come on.
Found guilty of racketeering. Maybe you need to read more about it.
Because he was not racketeering.
Trumped up.
They had evidence, baby.
They had evidence.
Oh, come on. He did not. He did not recruit
girls. I'm not
going to
retry him. He was already found guilty in a federal court.
But he did not recruit girls like
Epstein. You know those federal people do not play?
Okay. Please.
We're not talking about a county prosecutor. We're talking about a federal prosecutor.
Well, there should not be a federal case.
They know their stuff.
Well, you know what?
The world doesn't go according to what you like. There's a lot of things I don't like about life.
I'm trying to explain. Racketeering is it's a Fed charge, and what it is they'll put racketeering into anything from bribery scheme, blackmail, sex trafficking, taking people across county line for profit, bootlegging. You can go this, and R. Kelly didn't do any of those things. He had four bitches up there, and he kept them against his own will.
No, you're not
going to
call them bitches. Stop that right now. You're not going to re-victimize those victims.
Why can't we call them bitches?
They were bitches.
Because they're not.
Bitches.
I mean, they were victims. They were victims.
They were
I'm going to stand up for them.
Did you
and you've got a lot of listeners that listen to what I have to say.
Did you see the documentary about being R? Was it being R. Kelly or something? And those bitches
surviving
right
R. Kelly
and funny in front of the camera, saying that they were not there against
their will.
They were brave. They were not brave. What is brave?
They were not
brave.
To speak out on such a platform, yes. I call that
brave. No, no. If the first girl was
If
the first girl was brave,
you're just being a misogynist. I mean, that's what this is.
I'm not being a misogynist.
I'm not going to read that time.
I'm saying you women keep saying
that
people are brave for doing the right thing.
You women? Uh-uh.
No.
No,
stop.
We are people.
If she was brave, the first – Angela, you're talking over me. If a woman was brave, the first woman would have said, hey, this is what's going on. So there won't be three more victims. So don't tell me that after 10 years, 15 years, they come out and talk about R. Kelly and they're brave? Because if it was...
Yes, they are brave. I'm
going to
stand by them.
You just victimized three other people.
That's like his wife that he was married to for 10 or 15 years staying there. And she didn't even open up her little whore mouth either. And she left anytime she wanted to. So don't tell
me
why you're being so misogynistic. I don't get
because
you, Ellen. I mean, why would you speak this way?
Because it is the truth.
His whore wife, he says?
Yes.
His whore wife?
If his wife knew, if his wife, and people knew what happened to Aaliyah. His aunt, the one who introduced his niece to R. Kelly, she knew who L. Kelly was. Why did she introduce – in fact,
well,
she could be investigated for charges. Don't tell me it was different. It's the same thing. She knew who R. Kelly was.
It wasn't the same person.
How is it not the same thing?
She still came out against him, Angela. She was one of the ones so-called victims who came out against him with these allegations.
Right.
And
all these women are not champions.
Sparkle.
Racketeering.
What the hell kind of
fucking
name is that?
Racketeering. He was found guilty.
Sparkle. What the hell kind of name is Sparkle?
Well, you know what?
Wait, you're
going to
attack her name now?
The fact of the matter is he was found guilty. But was his justice served? I'm going to tell you something.
Yes, it was.
Justice served? No, it wasn't served because you got these bitches who enabled R. Kelly and sending him women, girls, to meet R. Kelly, and those bitches are not tried for that. They're not tried for prostitution or racketeering. They brought those girls to R. Kelly. So what about those bitches who did not get up?
Child trafficking.
Called?
That is called child trafficking, which was part of his racketeering charge.
But shouldn't they be tried?
Well, please.
No one's saying that they shouldn't.
They weren't children, Angela.
But
they
made a deal with the prosecutors.
I see. Well, here's another thing. We're going to transition. And Angela, thank you for that because it is something.
I am so happy that he cannot be on YouTube in official capacity and make monies from it. He can no longer make monies, and I guarantee you Spotify and Apple will follow suit because he violated terms of service.
No, they won't.
Okay, you can think that all you want, but it's going to happen, honey.
No, they won't because they're making too much money off of the music.
Ugh. He's a racist.
My body telling me
yeah, there you go. Sing it, R. Kelly.
He's going to rape and he's going to victimize children. That's disgusting.
He doesn't want to hurt nobody, Angela. He just said it. You got to confess this. He doesn't want to hurt nobody. Go ahead, sing it, R. Kelly. Oh, yeah.
Really, Brian?
Speak the language of love.
He's disgusting. He deserves to be in a prison with Big Bubba. Let him get the treatment he doled out.
I just send $10 to his fund by playing the song.
You know what, Angela?
All right.
Okay. A couple of those girls, they were not children. Okay, they were 17 years old. And some states, the legal...
That's still a child.
No, it's not. The legal consent
is brain fully developed? No.
Angela, you have to understand, there is an age of consent.
Racketeering.
Which the law says, Angela, you're going over what I'm saying. When you say they're children, they're not children.
Yes, they are.
They're young adults. No, they're not. A 17-year-old is not a child.
Would you sleep with a 17-year-old? Would you?
No, I would not. I would not sleep with
a 20-year-old. Okay, rest my case, because
that's not my cup of tea.
A decent person.
What does that have to do? What does that have to do with the young adult can go to court and they can say, you know what? What is that thing where they can go to court and they want to get away from their parents and everything? They want to be on their own.
Yeah, but they
could be emancipated at 16
and 17. Yeah, but they can't just do that. They can't just
it varies
do that.
From state to state.
They can't just go to court and say, I want to be emancipated from my parents. They have to prove that they have a job, they have
a
place to live.
I understand. I understand. But a 5-year-old does not have that option. A 10-year-old does not have that. My point is that they're old enough. The law says that you're old enough to make a decision, and if you bring us a case why you are better off being emancipated than in your home, whether it's rape or child abuse or incest, whatever, the court will award you that privilege. And that's because they think you're a young adult and you are aware of things. They were not children. They were young adults.
17
you
is still
what
a child.
With a 17-year-old, I will not sleep with a 25-year-old. Well, maybe a 25. Because
I don't think you would.
But I would not sleep with a 23-year-old. I would not sleep with a 20. And some 23-year-olds act like 16.
Because you're a decent
Trust
person.
Me, I dress them
you're
up in little baby
person.
Outfits and make them go goo goo gaga and call me daddy.
Oh, come on, don't say that.
What?
Don't say that.
Why not? I could dress a 25-year-old as a little girl and have her call me daddy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's my own freak business.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh?
But you were not
really?
Found guilty of racketeering. You were not found guilty of racketeering. R. Kelly was.
Okay.
Racketeering should not even been part of the charges that were brought against
him. Oh,
I'm okay,
so glad
no
you're a federal
prosecutor.
This is a political, this is a political bullshit move.
No, this
yeah,
is a happy thing that he can no
real.
Longer be
no,
on YouTube. He can
re-election.
No longer benefit from being on YouTube. That is a reason to celebrate. Mute him, meaning R. Kelly. And it's called Mute
it R.
Kelly.
He's the greatest. He's the greatest. Look at R. Kelly. Listen to this song. You tell me you don't like this song. I love this song.
No,
R.
I don't
Kelly.
Like
it's
any of his music.
Oh,
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a
seriously.
Sweeping the country.
R.
Bring
R.
back Abba.
I am a river.
Bring back Abba.
Down in the valley. Oh, I am a vision.
Van Halen.
Yeah.
Aussies. Even though he was a drunken addict, he did not do the deplorable things that R. Kelly has done and been convicted of.
Yeah, what do you think?
From that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it.
Yeah, I made it.
I'm the world's greatest.
Yeah. I'm the world's greatest.
He made it to prison.
$10. There you go. Cha-ching.
He made it to prison.
Cha-ching.
He made it to prison. Finally.
Well, you know, that's true. A lot of other people who are black are in prison, too, and they made it to prison on a lot of other stuff, too. So be happy
well,
about that.
Well, this was
Somebody,
on his
all
actions,
those black people,
not how
yeah,
light or
all
dark
those
he
black
was.
People were in prison. Have a drink on them. All right, here we go. We're going to do a transition. You know, we get this racial thing going, and here's a story
you
that I'm on a fence. And look at you.
I didn't bring up the race part.
You.
I talked about his actions.
Look at you all fired up.
But
well,
thank God
right,
he can't benefit
now
from
guy,
YouTube.
And this guy is in Kansas City. It's a high school kid. Now,
okay.
You tell me if
Brian,
this is wrong.
Okay,
you made the headline.
Wait. Okay, Brian.
Yeah.
Okay, Angela's so for taking down music of people. What about Phil Spector? He went to jail. They never took his
in a different
music
country.
Down. It doesn't matter.
And they should
they
have.
Never took his,
they should have.
They never took his.
But he was not the artist that was singing. He wrote some of the songs. He produced them. I don't think they would
matter.
Have the same legal standing.
Yeah.
But
right.
They did have a term of use that R. Kelly violated. And he's being punished.
All right, here we go.
I'm
going to do the transition. Here
okay,
we go.
So the guy
so
in Kansas
you,
City.
This is a story on reverse racism. And I don't know why it should make the headline. This is what it is. Okay, it's a white kid. So this white kid went and asked this black girl to go to the prom. It went horribly wrong.
Okay.
It made the news, and they turned it into a racial thing. But how he did it was kind of cringy. So here's a white kid who's asking this black girl to the prom. This is how he did it. This is why he made the headline. The high school student in Kansas City has sparked outrage. Outrage! On his racism about homecoming proposal that went viral over social media. Outrage, I tell you. As part of the proposal, the boy presented the girl last week with a bigoted banner. Bigoted banner. Now, the boy's a boy. He wants to go to the prom. He made this himself. I'm looking at the banner. He misspelled some words and put it in crayon. I mean, okay, fine. Kansas City, you guys need to step up on your public schooling and education. So here's what the banner read. And you tell me if this is racism. Here's what he read. And he held it up in front of her so she'll go to the prom. He was being creative. And it said this. If I was black, I would be picking cotton. But I'm white, so I'm picking you for homecoming. Cotton balls were also plastered to the sign, which had a box of the girl to check either yes or no. So cotton balls. He has cotton balls on there. Because of cotton. I'll repeat it again. White boy standing there with a sign asking black girl, go to the prom. The sign read, if I was black, I would be picking cotton. But I'm white, so I'm picking you. And he had little cotton balls on the sign. Well, this went nuts. Here we go. That's all people needed. In the photo, the two students stand shoulder to shoulder, posing close to one another, while happily sharing the sign and holding it up in plain view. The image shows the yes box has been checked. So the black girl checked the yes box. Okay? She was not offended. So if she was not offended, what the fuck you guys are talking about? Quit attacking these boys. If she was, and this was to her, if anybody was be offended, see, this is what I don't like about activists and about millennials. Oh, that is just wrong. That's our opinion, and our opinion goes and everything. Shut the fuck up. And you're making it a racism. It goes into another thing. The student and his potential date have since been called out for racism. Both of them. The black girl and the white girl. But the girl's mom is standing up for her, saying her daughter was just caught up in the excitement of homecoming. Remember how innocent homecoming was? Remember the prom? Remember that when you were kids? But you can't remember, you jaded, silly-ass, moronic, racist bitches. You left-wing activists, dirty, naughty dogs. You want to make something so dirty and so controversy that an innocent little high school kid cannot ask a girl to the prom. And now you're attacking these children. And you call yourself activists and left-wing people and I love you. Shut the fuck up, you little terrorists. If the girl was not offended, shut the fuck up. Caught up in the excitement of being asked to her first homecoming, our daughter held the sign that was given to her. She even told the radio station, KSHB 41 in Kansas, it was only after actually comprehending the situation that she realized what was happening. She bluntly said no by then, and it was too late. So after all you fucks started attacking these innocent kids and started putting this shit into her head, first she was so excited just to go to homecoming thing. Now he said no because now she got the racism and your dirty, negative, cynical thoughts into these two innocent kids because you're cynical. And this is what you did with your own little racism thoughts and everything, and you messed up this guy. And then she said no. So now she's not going to a homecoming thing because of you assholes who don't really give a fuck about her, that you just want to express your bigoted views. And I'm talking about you left-wing sons of bitches, activists, everybody loves everybody and don't hurt anybody and don't say shit about anybody. This is what you did to this little girl. And it made headlines. This should not even be in the paper. You should be ashamed of yourself. So apparently they got to her. She said no, but by then it was too late. After attempting to redirect the blame, please know that we have diversity in our own family and believe that all lives matter. We have received many death threats, and numerous people have told our daughter to kill herself. This is what we became. she started to get death threats, and people were telling her to kill her. These are your nice little activist left-wing people. Oh, my God, I'm so shocked that he's saying this racism thing. So now I'm going to tell you to kill yourself, because how dare he do anything like this, and you said yes. So these nice little people now are turning on this girl and giving her death threats. This goes back with Facebook about, let's get rid of Facebook, or let's govern Facebook. Let's put it under government control, because it says mean things and makes teenage girls feel bad about themselves. Facebook hasn't done that. It's society is doing that. They're posting that. You are looking at the reflection of society and who we are. And who we are, you don't like. It's who we are, American citizens, you don't like us. Because who we really are, we're hateful, vengeful, prejudiced, spiteful, racist Americans. That's who we are, angry Americans. We hate each other. We don't want to do anything. We're jealous. We want to belittle you. We want to hurt you. That's who we are. And if you tell Facebook, well, you have to stop all that hate, Facebook is a platform for you to post. Facebook is saying, go ahead and post. And this is who, and you don't like what you're seeing. It's a reflection of who we really are. And you don't want to see the ugly American. That's what it is. You guys want to keep going with this propaganda that in the Beacon of the Hill that we're beautiful and we're for democracy and we're not. We have people, we have a nutcase saying that he's the president and Biden's not really the president and he tried to stop the certification and you support him. That's who we are. That's who we are. You support a president who goes after people, call them fat and everything and tell them to bite a pussy and everything and you vote for him. That's who we are. That's who we are. You have a president who's telling secrets to the Russians, who's making nice to North Korea, and you're still voting for him and you're cheering for him. You have a president that incited such anger that they came storming the Capitol and started yelling, hang Mike Pence and put a bullet through Pelosi's head, our lawmakers. That's who we are. That's who we are. So you got two innocent kids. It started off as a prom thing. She said no, and now she's an innocent black girl, and she's the one getting death threats. She's the one that they tell her to kill herself because she said yes, because she liked the boy, and they were just going to go to the prom. And then this is who we are. Our family believes that all their family is highly diverse. That means there's white people, black people, Hispanic people in that family. They don't have no qualms about diverse. They have no qualms about racial shit. But who we are people who are going to attack a high school girl who just wants to go to homecoming with ugly remarks and tell her to kill herself. Yeah, take a look at who we are. So the next time you hear the government says that I want to take over Facebook and it should be government regulated, government wants to take over your life. They already took over your life. Government has shut your shops down. Government said you got to wear a mask. Government is telling you, now you better take a shot. Government says, don't worry about it. I'll give you a little bit of money each month. Here's $1,200. Let's keep the little peasants happy. That's government. Government is telling you, you cannot post what your thoughts are on Facebook. Government is saying, we don't like what we hear on Facebook, so we want Mark Zuckerberg to correct this and get your speech off of Facebook because we don't want to see it. And so you're saying, anybody who votes for the government to regulate Facebook, and you – government is coming. Big Brother is now your father, and they're watching you, and they're controlling you. They're telling you when to take a shot, when not to take a shot. If you don't obey them, they'll shut you down. Hell, they'll shut America down. That's the government. So I'm going off the subject for a little bit, but I'm saying is if you don't like what's on Facebook, because Facebook will tell you, Facebook, they're trying to say Facebook's a publisher. Facebook is not a publisher. They're not a publisher. You're the publisher. When you write something, you are now the author of that. Facebook has a forum. They're not making money off of your publishing. They have sponsors, but they're not a publisher. You write the content. And you don't like the content because it's ugly, it's mean, and it's disgusting. But that's who we are. So if you want to think that we're some great American citizen and that we walk on water and we're for democracy, just remember what we did to the Native American Indians. Just remember what other country enslaves human beings? What policeman kills you in the street and put a knee on your neck? and the president enjoys it and says there are good people on both sides. You don't like what's on Facebook? Does that offend you? Does that make you cringe? Well, guess what? That's who we are. You take a look at yourself. Who we are is this white boy did this sign, and all of a sudden, now the black girl is getting death threats. Nothing about the Caucasian guy getting death threats. It's the black girl, a 16, 17, maybe 16-year-old girl, her first homecoming. She's excited. And you have the nerve to say, I want to kill yourself? Kill yourself? Death threats? Over the prom? Yeah, that's who we are. USA, USA, USA. Take a really good look at who you are. And that prejudice, if you want to talk about, I'm happy that R. Kelly is going to the prison, okay, cool. But I'm not happy about lives being destroyed because that's who we are. We want them dead. We want to destroy them. We want them, whatever it is, bring in the death penalty. But of course, if you're white, that's okay. Because half the people in jail are black and brown. Get them off the street. Lock them up in cages like animals. Yeah. Let's get an old dude who's 80 years old, half blind, can't even see shit and everything. And let's say that he put drugs in a girl's drink 30 years ago. Let's get that black nigger off the street and lock him up like a caged animal. Because that's who we are. Be proud to be an American. Because that's who we are. We're dirty. We're vengeful. We're evil. We're hateful. We got rage in us. And we're looking for an excuse. There was a story the other day that's on right now. And people don't want to hear what I'm saying. Angela just dropped because she didn't want to hear what I'm saying because she's an ostrich. She wants to put her hand. But that's who we are. There was a story the other day, a comedian. I love him. I love him dearly. You know, he made a joke about the LGBT community. Just a joke. I'm paraphrasing the joke, and the joke was something like, you know, you can hurt somebody, you can kill somebody. For God forbid, don't hurt the feelings of the LGBT community. God forbid. That's the joke. I'm paraphrasing it. And God forbid, he also said a thing about he went to a party and everything. This transgender went up and tried to hug him, and he says, back off, man. What did he say? Back off, man. I mean, space. It's my bubble. You invaded my bubble. Back off. Well, the transgender community went crazy and started to go on Twitter and everything and said that Dave Chappelle should not do his concert and that you should take Dave Chappelle off of Netflix because he's not friendly to transgender. All Dave Chappelle said in a joke. Yeah, all Dave Chappelle said in a joke is like this transgender dude came up and he tried to hug me and I backed him off. It's like, dude, space, bubble, you're in my private space. That's all he said about it.
You
he's
know,
a comedian.
Okay.
So the transgender people are fucking upset about that.
I'm not too fond of strange people coming up and trying to hug me either.
Me either.
And I don't care who they are.
Exactly.
You know, if it's a... You know, and that doesn't mean that I'm homophobic if I tell somebody, you know, back off, I don't want you too close to me. It has nothing to do with, you know, because I know a lot of gay people, okay, and I don't have a problem with them. What I do have a problem with is somebody coming up to me and hugging me without my permission.
I do too, especially if you're dressed like a man and everything. What the fuck? Get off of me. And see, it's like, so I have to give up my rights as a person who I am, and I agree with you, Ellen. I'm not a hugger. And if anybody comes up to me and then I push them back, it's like, ooh, you pushed them back. Now you don't like transgender, so now I'm going to destroy your career. This is who we are. There's another
little
thing.
I'm saying
it really fast.
I say, you know what? Fuck off. Okay? You know,
and it's time that people should start doing it. Tell them to fuck off. Here's another. But can you imagine this poor girl? It's happy to go to homecoming, and now she's receiving death threats, and people are telling her to go kill herself. Mm-hmm. That's who we are. Here's another thing right here. I'm going to do a quick transition. It's called Bad Thinkers. I think you're going to like this, Ellen. Give me a minute, okay? They're bad thinkers. And it says here, why do some people believe conspiracy theories? It's not just who or what they know. It's a matter of intellectual character. Meet Oliver. Like many of his friends, Oliver thinks he is an expert on 9/11. He spends most of his spare time looking at conspiracy theories, websites. He does research. His research has convinced him that the terrorist attack on New York and Washington, D.C. of September 11, 2001 were the inside job. The aircraft impacted and resulting fires could have caused the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center to collapse. The only viable explanation, he maintains, is that government agents planted explosives in advance. He realizes, of course, that the government blames Al-Qaeda for 9/11, but his predictable response is pure Mandy Rice Davis. They will say that, wouldn't they? Well, they're studying the mind of a conspiracy theorist. Polling evidence suggests that Oliver's view about 9/11 are by no means unusual. Particular theories about all matter of things are now widespread. There are conspiracy theorists about the spread of AIDS, the 1969 moon landing, UFOs, and the assassination of JFK. Sometimes conspiracy theories turn out to be right. Watergate really was a conspiracy. But mostly they are bullshit. They are, in fact, vivid illustrations of a striking truth about human beings. However intelligent and knowledgeable we might be in other ways, many of us still believe the strangest things. You can find people who believe they were abducted by aliens, that the Holocaust never happened, and that cancer can be cured by positive thinking. A 2009 Harris poll found that between one-fifth and one-quarter of Americans believe in reincarnation, astrology, and the existence of witches. You name it, and there is probably someone out there who believes it. You realize, of course, that Oliver's theory about 9/11 has little going for it. And this might make you wonder why he believes it. The question, why does Oliver believe that 9/11 was an inside job? And just a version of more general questions posed by the U.S. skeptic, Michael Shermer. Why do people believe in weird things? The weirder the belief, the stranger it seems that someone can have it. So they're asking why people believe in weird things. Isn't like asking why they believe it's rainy as they look out the window and they see the rain pouring down? It's obvious why people believe in it's raining when they have compelling evidence. But it's far from obvious why Oliver believes that 9/11 was an inside job when he has access to compelling evidence that it wasn't an inside job. How am I reading, Ellen? Am I reading okay?
Yep. You're fine.
Thank you.
You are fine.
Because I'm cold reading, so I didn't go over this. I want to argue for something which is controversial, although I believe that it's also intuitive and commonsensical. You see, when I do recall, I actually do know the words. I just have to fuck it up on the radio so I look like an idiot and make them look smart. That's the deal. My claim is this. Oliver believes what he does because that is the kind of thinker he is. Or, to put it more bluntly, because there is something wrong with how he thinks. The problem with conspiracy theorists is not, as a U.S. legal scholar Case Sutton argues, that they have little relevant information. The key to
relevant.
What they end up believing, yeah, that's what I said, relevant.
It's not relevant. It's
relevant. Relevant. I said relevant.
You said relevant.
Right. Relevant. Relevant.
Look, okay, we're not doing the Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck thing.
All right. They have little relevant information. Better?
Yes.
The key to what they end up believing is how they interpret and respond to the vast qualities of relevant information at their disposal. I want to suggest that this is fundamentally a question of the way they are. Oliver isn't mad, or at least he doesn't need to be. Nevertheless, his beliefs about 9/11 are the result of peculiarities. I'm sorry. Peculiarities. Hey, you snuck that in there, you bastard. I was doing so well. Don't give me no particularities, you motherfuckers.
Peculiarities.
Intellect. That's what I said, particularities, peculiarities.
When you say that, it reminds me of Colonel Potter. Jocularity, jocularity.
Jocularity.
Father Mulcahy. Yeah, jocularity,
yeah.
Jocularity.
But this is how. This is how a conspiracy mind thinks, and we got to know how they think. And I usually wanted to know what kind of mind thinks of these theories. You know?
Uh huh.
Going back to the copy and almost done. Usually, when philosophers try to explain why someone believes things, weird or otherwise, they focus on that person's reasons rather than their characters and traits. On this view, the way to explain why Oliver believes that 9/11 was an inside job is to identify his reasons for believing this. And the person who is in the best position to tell you his reason is Oliver. When you explain Oliver's belief by giving his reasoning, you're giving a rational. That's it. Explanation of his beliefs. And you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's it. I have to put, the problem with this is that rationalization, explanation, take you only so far. If you ask Oliver why he believes 9/11 was an inside job, he will, of course, be only too pleased to give you his reason. It had to be an inside job, he insists, because aircraft impacts couldn't have brought down the towers. He is wrong about that. But at any rate, that's his story, and he is sticking to it. When he has done, in effect, is to explain one of the questionable beliefs by references to another no less questionable belief. Unfortunately, this doesn't tell us why he has any of these beliefs. There is a clear sense in which we still don't know what is really going on with him. So, it goes on and on and on. I'm getting bored with this story. It goes way on. It's like, you know, people throw away facts. People are very lazy. It goes with the Giuliani thing. When Giuliani went to his deposition, and they said, can you give us proof? The judge says, give me proof that there has been a scandal, or there has been stealing a steal, or there has been voter fraud. Giuliani says, I heard it on Facebook. Judge says, what? I've read it on Facebook. You read it on Facebook. Did you check it out, Giuliani? No. I don't have time to check it out. What kind of lawyer would I be if I had to check out something? No. I saw it on Facebook. I saw something, and it said voter fraud, and I went with it. Well, that's all the nutcases need to hear. That's all the Republicans needed to hear. You want to believe what you want to believe. The man is telling you that he read it on Facebook, so it must be true. That's what the man, that's a lawyer, the president's lawyer. Can you imagine having a lawyer? Well, you know, Your Honor, my client here, Mr. Hammer, he suffers from osteoatic poo-poo. It's a rare disease, I read on Facebook, that when he gets excited, he shits. And he didn't mean to shit on that lady's dog. Caused no harm, and the dog died. My client is not a dog killer. He's just a shitter. I never heard of this thing. It's on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? It's on Facebook. That's who you idiots, and Trump to believe it, and Trump does believe it. Really? Now, when Giuliani's not drinking, which is maybe 10 minutes of the day, Trump went with it. So what Trump says must be true for his supporters. Therefore, it's true. And where did you get it for? Where did you get it to, Mr. President? Giuliani? Giuliani, where did you get this story? I saw it on the internet, and it must be true. And then all the report, and then all the people going, yay, it's a steal, it's a steal. Weak-minded folks. There you go. All right. Eight exit. I can go on with the news, or do you want to hear? We can stop the show. Or do you want to hear the comic, the anger comic? Oh, and want to finish it off with a good thing? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All
right. Bring back the mad angry comic.
And finish off Friday. Okay. You're listening to Hammer 96.7. We're going to take a little break, 2-minute break, and we'll be right back with Hammer the angry comic, who's debuted at the Laugh Factory. And don't miss that. We're going to finish it off with a ha-ha. It's the worst jokes ever. And we're going to play, who's going to take us to the break, is that marvelous Mr. R. Kelly. We'll be right back.
Oh, God.
I am a mountain, I am a tall tree, oh, I am a swift wind, sweeping the country. I am a river, down in the valley, oh, I am a vision, and I can see clearly. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's against the ropes, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest. An eagle, oh, I am a lion, down in the jungle, I am a marching band, I am the people, oh, I am a heaven hand, I am a hero, if anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high, hey, I made it, I'm the world's greatest, and I'm that little bit of hope, when my back's up against the road, I can feel it, I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll reign, love,
I will reign,
and the world will know.
Forgot our lead story. I'm sorry. 22 minutes. Wow, almost lost the lead. Here we go. Lead story. Pfizer formally asked FDA to authorize this COVID vaccine for kids 5 to 11. That's what they're doing. Here's the story. Pfizer formally asked the FDA to authorize its COVID vaccine for kids, 5 to 11. Yay, kids, you're going to be protected for COVID. And they're talking about this weather, and it's going to be the flu season and blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, we come a long way from where we were a year ago, unvaccinated, exiting a not quite summer. They have winter staring in the face. While there's still some tension surrounding questions of trick-or-treating and indoor Thanksgiving, spooky season 2021 looks like it will mostly be a fun kind of spooky. That's it. Here we go. In an anticipated request that could alter the course of the school year, Ellen, let me ask you. I know that Erin now is a young lady. She's 18. But if you had a kid who was 6, would you give them the vaccine for COVID?
Yeah, I would.
Damn right.
Because mm-hmm. Do you realize that they've had a lot? I forget how many they said, but I think it's over 1,000 kids have died because they can't get mm-hmm. the vaccine, and their stupid parents and their stupid adults don't want to get the vaccine and protect themselves and the kids. You know, these kids are the ones, you know, they're the ones that can't get the vaccine right now because it hasn't been approved for them. You know, that's the ones that have been mostly in the hospital and dying because they're not approved for the vaccine yet. And because you have stupid adults that don't want to do anything to protect the kids and their community, you know, these kids are dying.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're doing. And, kids are dying. And I'll read the story really quickly, and then I'll do the thing. But that's what they're doing. That's exactly. But, you know, there are some risks for it, and people don't know the risks. And people go, okay. Because, again, we got uneducated people running around with scissors. So if you want to know the risk of giving your kid the vaccine, here are some of the risks that the studies show. Now, I was surprised at how many – they said that they have done millions of this testing and how children react, and I'm surprised they did that, and I don't know if they're going after Israel and see what's happening with them because they think they're doing it to their children. But here it goes. Here's some of the risk. Oh, it is Israel. What do you know? I didn't even see it. I figured it was, but it is. I'm right. Two studies from Israel quantify the risk of the myocarditis. I know I mispronounced it. It's a heart condition kind of thing. I might be mispronouncing
what?
It.
Sorry.
Myocarditis or carditis. I think it's carditis.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's a hard thing. Well, here's what the study has shown with the risk. One suggesting the chance of developing a condition is 1 in about 50,000. What that means is blood clots on your lungs. There's a risk. But the risk is like 1 in 50,000. The risk of developing inflammation of the heart muscle after receiving the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine is very low. According to two large studies from Israel, the studies indicate that teenage boys and young men are most at risk of developing the condition known as, and I'm going to try to say it again, myocarditis or carditis. And again, what that means is you're developing blood clots in your lungs. But even in this group, the vast majority of the cases are mild and people recover quickly. In one study, one of more than 5 million people who had received the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, 136 developed myocarditis, just for context. The other study, two of more than 2.5 million people who received a shot, identified just 54 cases of that problem. So 2.5 million people have had it, received a shot. They just identified 54 cases of it. This person, his name is Ran. He's a co-author of the second study, and he's an epidemiologist, Ellen, at Israel's largest health care provider. I think it's epidemiologist. I test Ellen to see if she's even listening. She may not be. She probably stepped away. Anyway, I'll go on and read it. So anyway, there's a slim chance that they would develop blood clot on their lungs. Out of 2.5 million, only, I lost my thing. Only a small sum of children came down with it. There you go. They did the study. And it says here, the FDA to authorize this vaccine for children ages 5 to 11, promising to move quickly. The FDA has an October 26 meeting on the books to consider it and will likely announce a ruling between Halloween and Thanksgiving. Children generally suffer less severely from COVID-19 induced illness. But in August, nearly 30,000 kids were in hospital with the Delta variant. This decision as consequential to parents as it is to children. As the second full school year in the pandemic continues, and parents must balance working from home while caring for their kids. Moderna is following suit too. Then they talk about booster shots and stuff like that. So that's the news. Now, I think, and what people are fear of, Biden's going to mandate this, and he probably will. He probably will. He probably won't have kids who are attending school, or 5 years old, I guess, kindergarten. They will get immunized. Now, they get shots already for measles, this and this and this and this, and they're going to get a shot to prevent them from getting COVID. I think when that happens, everything's going to open up. It's going to go back to normal. I think the schools will open up, Disneyland and everything. Now, my thing is, see, nobody's asking the question, which I should ask. All right, let's say you mandate my kid and you give them vaccinations, right? Now we're in school. And if you motherfuckers make my kid wear a mask now, something's up. Because if you're vaccinating my kid and you're supposedly protecting him from this COVID virus, why does my kid have to wear a mask? And if you're still telling me to wear a mask, bullshit. But that's coming next. Don't think it won't. That's coming next. Ellen, are you there? Well, it's not
yep,
here.
I'm here.
So here we go. Are you ready for, so I did the main story. The other story about the NBA players who are doing fraud and everything. They're getting arrested. They're high players. They're doing a fraud scheme. You heard about that.
Yeah, I
they're
heard
charged
about that yesterday.
With pocketing about $2.5 million illegally by defrauding the league's health and welfare benefit plan in a scam that authorized said involved claiming fictitious medical and dental expenses.
Yeah.
And they got their ass. They got their ass. What other? Any other story? Okay, we went to this story here. Pfizer vaccine, we went to this. Mom blames, can you believe that racial story? I said mom blames black student for insanely racist homecoming proposal.
Huh. Wow.
So the white dude did the sign. The white dude says, would you do this? I pick cotton. The white dude this. But the mom blames the black student, the girl who said yes. The mom blames her. America, America, my country is fucked up. You need to wake up, America. There's a movie called Dune. I love the movie. It came out in the 70s. Love fucking Dune.
It came out in the 80s?
Okay, it came out in the 80s.
Yeah, because Dune was in it.
Dune, yeah. Dune was the only awakening. If you want to go woke, people are not going woke anymore because it's already passed and they're on to the next thing. But if you ever want to wake, that movie had impact on me, and I love the movie. You should see the movie. It has a lot of religion in this movie. It has a lot of things. They had the Jesuit priest in this movie. So the new movie coming out. I guess they did a remake of Dune that's coming out maybe, I think, in the end of October, and I'm going to fucking see it, man. But in the story, he's the next guy in line to be a king. And, you know, they teach him all what he has to do, how to battle, how to do this, how to use his mind. But he always questioned his father. And his father kept looking at him and says, one day, the sleeper must awake. And he never knew what that meant. What? He never knew what that meant. Because the movie's like 3 hours long. The sleeper must awake. Okay. Well, it kind of deals with marijuana. I don't know. So it goes into the whole thing. He's going, what? So it goes to the whole story, and everything is really good about the going with the planet, and then they try to take over, and they try to assassinate him. It's a really great story. Then he gets to the spice. So there's this planet with spice, and it's this spice, which is mineral spice. It's good spice. It's kind of a hallucinogenic, but it's good spice.
Kind of like then, LSD?
It kind of is. And then there's big worms that come out of the sand. They're sandworms, and he's riding the big worms, and the worms eat people. Good spice. Well, apparently that they're trying to assassinate him. He's running down and whatever, and he's hearing the voice to speak. The sleeper must awaken. So he falls down. There's in the sand, and all of a sudden, the sandworms come after him. And he's running because they're big sandworms. Looks like a penis with teeth. But anyway, the sandworm is going after him in the desert. I guess he falls down this well. Well, he falls into spice. And all of a sudden, his eyes turned as dark as blue as you can have. He got some spice. And in his mind, he goes over that when he was a kid and how his training was and talking to his father and all that, you know, like you're dying and you go through your past lives, you know, before you die. And then the father kept saying the sleeper must awaken. Then he gets it. And the song is, the big music, boom, 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 and the sandworm going, I'm going to eat you. He comes out, and he gets it. And then he climbs out of that hole, and he raises his arm, and he goes, Father, the sleeper has awakened. And that he develops and how he learns to talk to the sandworms. And he gets the insight of what's really going on. And he got the spiritual self of who he is. And he developed a secret language and a secret power that can control, mind control. And it is just so great movie. I can't wait till it comes out and they remake it again. And it's supposed to come out in October. If you ever see a movie, you got to see Dune. It's a hell of a movie. And I'm just saying to the public, you're following a dipshit, Donald Trump. You're not using your mind. You're not using your common sense. You got Republicans right now who are trying to block the debt ceiling. And if they do block, and they're getting no votes, the Democrats need the votes to pass it. And you got one Democrat who's an asshole who's holding it because he's in a Democratic state. But if that debt, the debt was ran up by Donald Trump, if we don't pay our bills, it shuts down. You have a chance. You may lose your retirement fund. That's right. You may lose your Social Security. That's right. Your 401k is at play here. And this is a debt that Donald Trump ran up. And the Democrats are saying it's time for us to pay the bill, so we need to vote to allow this amount of money to pay the bill. But the Republicans say, no, 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 we're not going to give anything to you Democrats. And the Democrats are saying, but you're the one who ran up the bill. If you don't vote on this, it's going to shut down the government. And the Republicans saying, good, shut it down. because then, and then in the second part of the election or the midterms, we're going to blame you. This is our plan. So the Democrats go, so this is your plan. You want us to shut the government down because you're not voting on this, and people are going to lose their Social Security. They're going to lose their pension. They're going to lose their 401K. They're going to lose other things, and people are going to get evicted because you want to make a point, and so you could bring this into the second term election saying, look what the Democrats did. They shut down the government, and this is the bill that you ran up, and Trump went crazy because he's a madman, and you're not going to vote on this because it's us against them. This is how it is. It's no longer the Republicans are for better health and citizenship. It's the C, their main agenda, because they have no policy. If you listen to a Republican, they have no policy. Their main agenda is to destroy the Democrats. It's a fight. It's a civil war. Now, the Democrats have no balls. They're whiny. They're a lot of whiny bunch of bitches. They have no balls. They're spineless little bitches. Because all they don't need the Republicans. What they should do is keep voting, and I agree with Morning Joe. And that the world knows that the Republicans are not going to vote on keeping your Social Security and keeping this. So the Democrats are still going, half-ass, will you please shut the fuck up, you whiny little bitches. You get in there and say, look, this is what we're going to do. But nobody has any balls on the Democrat side. I'm tired of it. They need a fighter. That's why they like John McCarthy. He's a madman. And Stanley will say, no, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. No. He's a fighter. That's why I like him. He's fighting for craziness. Okay. The Democrat needs to get some balls. So I don't understand where people, the sleeper must awaken when you people in those states, yeah, you people in Kentucky, you people in Texas, you people this, if the government shuts down and they don't raise the ceiling debt, you're going to lose your Social Security, you're going to lose maybe your pension and anything else. Your people. You got to be a person before party. There's poor people in Kentucky. There's middle-aged people in Kentucky. There's people in Kentucky who still have black lung. Your people. You got to go to your representative saying, quit fucking around. I didn't put you here to start wars with the Democrats. I didn't put you here to block shit. I put you here so you can pass laws to benefit us and to benefit our state. The people must awake. And again, you got to stop with this Facebook thing. The government wants you to be regulated, wants Facebook to be regulated. This is the last of the frontier. And if the government has its way, they will regulate Facebook. The government comes, so they're telling you what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And they're going to make sure you don't say what they don't agree with, because that's what's happening. So if they win, if the government wins and they regulate Facebook, which is last of the frontier of your free speech, you're gone. The government shut you down, but they'll pay you $1,200. They tell you to wear a mask. They tell you not to wear a mask. They tell you it's mandated. They tell you this. They tell you that. Now we got each other fighting at each other. You're not wearing a mask, you can't come in. And now we're throwing fist fights at each other. You're animals. Now, I'm not anti-government. A lot of things the government does is great, and I love it. I love what the Democrats' agenda is. I love trying to get, 2 years of college. I love their health care plan. I'm not anti-government, but I'm saying sometimes these people can go crazy and it's too much government. And the Republicans used to run on a platform where there's too much government. And if they're trying to regulate Facebook, what are they going to do next? Are school books or this or this? Come on, man. It's time for the sleeper. The sleeper must awaken, and you're the people. And just say, I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm not going to take it anymore. You find your representative in Kentucky. You find your representative in Governor Abbott. You vote them out. They work for you. And tell them, you're not going to take this bullshit anymore. We're not going to take just because you don't want the agenda, the Democrats have an agenda to win, that you got the Donald Trump mental illness going on, saying it's a win. It's not about this. Remember, Donald Trump filed more bankruptcy than anybody else. This guy's a madman. He doesn't care about debt. And this guy is talking about a debt and that you hold tight, Republicans. This guy ran a coup in the United States of America. You're going to trust this guy who try to overtake your own country? Really? The sleepers must awaken. The people must start voting and paying attention. And we got to stop this party line and start for the people that say, we need infrastructure. We need our roads. We need this. We need care. We need child care so we can go to work. And you got to stop with the and letting these Republicans and Ted Cruz's up there laugh at you and lead you. It's time for you, for the people, to rise up and say, this is what we need. And if you don't get what we need, you're fired, and we're going to vote for the next guy. It's time for it to change, and only the people can make the change. Don't be a sheep, because it's very bad for you. Don't do it. Be a lion. Don't be a pussy. Be a bulldog. The people got to wake up and vote out your congressman, your senator, or your governor. I don't care what party it is, and I say the same thing. The Democrats became weenies and weak. Vote them fuckers out too. But it's time for the people to say, you know what? You work for us, and we didn't put you up there to fight with each other and who's going to win the war and who's going to do this so we can get the next election, or we're going to make the votes easier for Republicans. This is not what we're about. I said the same thing about that poor little girl who just wanted to go to homecoming, and now she's getting death threats. The black girl is, but the white dude's not, and he's the one who made the sign. It's because, and Facebook under attack because they don't like what's said because it's so mean and everything. I keep saying, that's who we are. We are thieves. We are liars. We'll take your land. We don't care. We're vengeful people. We're angry people. We're hateful people. But we could change who we are if we just wake up and make ourselves better and make ourselves who we should. These leaders are angry and scared, and they're feared leaders, and they're no, get them out. Vote for somebody who's stable. Let's get America better. Let's quit being angry. Let's get rid of racism. Let's get rid of a lot of stuff, because only you can do it. They work for you. The sleeper must awake. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson. This is Alan, and I want to thank there's six other people in the room I didn't go to, but I want to thank Angela for participating, and of course the lovely Ellen J. See you guys Monday. Unless Ellen, you want to say goodbye, send me out.
No, I just want to tell everybody have a great weekend and talk to everybody Monday.
That's right. And to you gay people out there, listen, you. Yeah, you. Running around in your little dress and you got a little hard on. Running around, putting lipstick on your face, shaking your little ass. Yeah, you. Trimming your pubic hair. Men are clipping their pubic hair into a landing strip. Stop it.
God.
I am sending this song out to you to show you that I'm giving you my hand across the aisle. And this is your main song. This is your, I guess, auto model. This is your, what do you call it? Like Star Spangled Banner. What is it called? Our anthem.
Our alma mater. Anthem.
This is your anthem, gay people, because it's me shaking hands with you. Dance, dance, my little puppies, dance. Dance, my little gay fucks, dance. Here it is. Yeah, baby. It's raining men, you gay folks. It's Friday. Get all soaked wet. These men are coming down from the heavens.
Woo!
And they got no underwear. Watch out for the dick. You get poked.
Hi. We're your weather girl.
Uh-huh.
And have we got news for you.
You better listen.
Get ready for your lonely girl. And leave those umbrellas at home.
All right.
Oh!
It ain't that tender. Christmas stocking. Thank you, girls. Well, there you go. There you go. We love fags. Yes, we do. All right. I'm going now. I'll see you Monday.
Yeah, I have to go charge my phone. My phone's about to die.
I'm going to call you in 2 minutes. And remember, you guys, some of you guys did not make my phone. So if you're ever waiting for a call from me, you're not going to get it. I'll call you in 2 minutes, Ellen. Bye, everybody. See you Monday.
Bye.